Redemption, The Keepers of Hell, Book 3, by Danielle James, read to you by Miles Taylor. Then, Jake knew he was dead. First, there was the fire at the church, and then the entire building collapsed. Second, the fact that his body was being hurtled down a freaking tunnel that never seemed to end was a great big flashing neon light. He was dead, and there was no going back. He was drifting away from his former life and into the afterlife, and there was nothing he could do to stop it. And then, there was a light at the end. Just like so many people claim to have seen, Jake felt himself smile and allowed the tunnel to take him to it. The faster he traveled, the better he felt, until he actually started getting closer to the end. He could see where the light came from, and it wasn't heaven. Not unless heaven's gates were made of fire. He was going to hell. All the things he had done in his life were finally coming back to haunt him, and it would be for all eternity. Fighting for money to feed his gambling addiction had cost him so much more than that happy marriage he originally thought. It had cost him his soul. As he approached the flames, he tried to fight it. He tried to turn around and run back to his life, where he could make changes. He tried, but it was no use. Hell had a proper hold on him, and that was where he was going, whether he wanted to or not. As he hurtled through the end of the tunnel, Jake landed on his ass on a hot concrete floor. He took in his surroundings, only to find that it wasn't really a floor, but a cave, and there was a huge ass wall of fire in front of him. He crab-walked backward away from the flames until his back hit a wall. Maybe it wasn't too late. Maybe he could run. He got to his feet to do just that when he heard it. "I hear that's one hell of a ride," a man said. Jake turned to see the man who spoke to him. He was tall, with short black hair and deep blue eyes. On his back was a huge pair of black wings that twitched as the man studied Jake. Jake's heart stopped in his chest before thundering back to life. Wait, wasn't he dead? Didn't the heart stop in the afterlife? "Yes, you are dead," the winged man said. "Your heart still beats with your soul. You have a choice to make, and I suggest you consider all your options first." "What choice?" Jake asked. "You can go on about your destiny. Go to heaven or hell. I'm not privy to which, or you can work for me," the man said. "I don't think making a deal with a demon is a good way to save my soul," Jake told him. The man rolled his eyes. "I am not a freaking demon," he growled. "I am an angel. A-N-G-E-L. See the wings? Demons don't have wings like this." "Oh," Jake said. What the fuck else was he supposed to say? "What do you want from me?" "I need an elite guard to help me protect things down here and up there as well sometimes," the angel said. "And if I don't?" Jake asked. The angel shrugged. "I guess you go wherever you're supposed to go." Jake thought of all the things he had done in his life. He was surely going to hell one way or the other. The question was, would it be as an employee or as a resident? It really was a no-brainer. This may be his only chance at redemption. "I don't really think I have a choice," Jake answered. "There is always a choice," the angel replied. Jake considered his options again. No, there really wasn't a choice he was going to make. "At your service," he finally said, sticking his hand out for a shake. The angel took his hand and pumped it twice before letting go. "Name's Ash. Welcome to hell." "Now, what the hell did I just agree to?" Jake wondered as he followed the man. Or should he call him by his name? Or should he call him Sir? The way the angel was walking away, Jake wasn't going to get the chance to call him anything if he didn't move his ass. "What exactly should I call you?" he asked as he ran to catch up. "Ash will be fine," he answered. Jake started to ask what his new job would entail, but that was just about the time they approached the wall of fire. Jake said, warily eyeing the fire. "It's just for show," Ash told him, and then the angel walked right through it. Just walked right into a huge wall of fire like he was walking through a doorway, like it couldn't burn him even if it wanted to. Maybe it was just an illusion, he thought. Maybe if he looked at it from another angle, he would see that it was just a trick. Jake turned his head and squinted at the fire sideways. Nope. Still looked like fire to him, and he was an expert on fire. "You coming or not?" Ash asked from somewhere Jake couldn't see. "Well, here goes nothing," he muttered as he forced himself to step forward. Sweat broke out all over his body, as the heat from the flames wrapped around him. He reminded himself that it was either this or spend all of eternity paying for his sins. Jake forced his feet to move forward. Who the hell filled his shoes with concrete? They felt like they weighed 100 pounds each. When he could go no further without touching the flames, he hesitated once again. Maybe he wouldn't burn for all the shit he did. Maybe if he said he was sorry, he could still go to heaven. Oh, who was he kidding? No amount of apologizing had convinced his ex-wife to forgive him, and it sure as shit wasn't going to work now. He had spent his whole adult life fighting fire and had jumped into flames so many times he couldn't count them. He had run headlong into burning buildings. He supposed on some level he had always known he would burn, and he was preparing himself. He could do this. Taking a deep breath, he closed his eyes and stepped into the flames. Surprisingly, the flames did not harm him. Jake felt a small smile tug at his lips, and he took 3 more long strides until he was on the other side of the flames. Ash was waiting for him with an expectant look. "Glad you could make it," he said sarcastically. "Well, it isn't every day you're asked to walk through fire," Jake told him. "Isn't it?" Jake asked. "For you, one would think it would be a piece of cake." "So not the same thing, man," Jake told him. "Fighting fires in life is much different than walking through the fires of hell." "Point taken," Ash conceded. "What is this?" Jake asked, pointing to a set of metal doors. Ash cocked his head slightly to the side and raised a brow at him. "It's an elevator," he said slowly. Jake snorted. "I can see that," he said. "There isn't an elevator in hell?" "I was pretty impressed my first time here, too," Ash told him as the doors opened. "Come on, we have a lot to do." Jake followed the angel into the elevator and watched as the doors closed on one part of his life, as he was being taken to whatever was next. Chapter 1. Jake didn't know what he expected when the elevator doors slid open, but it wasn't what was on the other side. Brimstone and flames? Sure. Screaming in agony? Why not? A carpeted hallway that was lined with wooden office-type doors? Not a chance. But that was exactly what he saw. The carpet was a soft gray and in pristine condition. It crushed easily under his feet and cushioned his every step. The doors were each polished to a high shine, and even the brass doorknobs were gleaming. It was clean, official. It looked like a freaking office building. Definitely not what one would expect the inner workings of hell to look like. Ash stepped out of the elevator, and Jake rushed to follow the man. He briskly walked down the hallway and then stopped at a heavy set of double doors. There were designs carved into the thick wood, and there was no handle. Jake watched as Ash laid his palm on a screen, and the doors clicked open. He pushed through them, and Jake followed. High-tech hell. Who would have thought? The inside was just as professional-looking as the outside. A massive mahogany desk sat in the middle of the room, and it had a huge leather chair behind it. It had all the things a desk should have on it. A computer, papers, pens, and even a few personal items. There was a photo of a woman in a wedding dress with her groom. The groom wasn't Ash, though. Jake wondered if the devil had a family, or if the photo was there just for show. There was a chair in front of the desk, and there was another in the corner of the room. A small side table had a huge bouquet of flowers sitting on it. Flowers? In hell? "Have a seat," Ash told him, and Jake settled himself into the chair in front of the desk, while Ash dropped into his own chair behind the desk. "We have a few things to discuss," he continued, booting up his computer and tapping his fingers on the desk while he waited for it to do its thing. "I'm kind of lost here," Jake admitted. "Not what you expected?" Ash asked with a half-smile. "Not even a little bit," Jake answered honestly while shaking his head. "I was expecting something, I don't know. More hellfire and damnation." Ash laughed. "I had that same sentiment. You will get the full tour later. Right now, I have to get you into the system." Ash started tapping away at the keyboard. "Into the system? Like an employee?" Jake asked with a shake of his head. Ash nodded, but didn't look away from his screen. "Something like that," he said. "We have to make sure that all souls are accounted for. If you are dead and you're not in heaven or hell, then we have to assume that you're stuck in limbo. Nobody wants to be there. So to save us the trouble of going and getting you from somewhere you're not, I have to put you in the system under my charge." "Oh," Jake muttered. Of course he would have to do that. Why wouldn't he? Because all of this seemed perfectly normal, right? The phone on the desk rang and Ash picked it up without looking at it. "Yeah," he said into the receiver. "What do you mean he got out?" Ash asked slowly, finally taking his attention off the computer. "I'll handle it," he said. Then he depressed the button to end the call and made another one. "Mally, yeah. Can you get Shelly in here, please? Tell her to bring the soul with her. Thanks." Then he dropped the phone back into its cradle. "I apologize," he said to Jake. It seems we have a small situation that requires my immediate attention. Please, make yourself at home. There is a fridge over there, he pointed to a little nook in the back of the room, with soda and other refreshments in it. This won't take long. Jake nodded, and no sooner than he stood from his chair, there was a knock on the door. Come in, Ash said as he nodded once at the door. It clicked open, and a woman dragging a man behind her came through. He didn't pay much attention to the man, but she was magnificent. Red and blonde hair cascaded down her back in fiery waves that begged a man to run his fingers through it. She was tall for a woman, and perhaps a little on the thin side, but that was far outweighed by her beauty. Sapphire blue eyes sparkled from under thick lashes, and he could tell she was pissed. This is crazy, she announced as she hauled her cargo behind her, dragging the man by his arm while the rest of his body got up close and personal with the carpet. You know that situation you asked me about on your first day? Well, it happened. Little Liam here decided to help someone else. And then he walked right up to the freaking doors and they opened for him. Just opened right up. Ash studied the man who was no doubt scared shitless. Shelley was the leader of greed, and apparently someone had finally seen the error of his ways. Come sit, he told the man. What is your name?
Liam, he stammered.
Shelley yanked on his arm, forcing him to stand taller. Shelley, let him go, Ash told her. She did, and the man almost fell on his face. He moved quickly to the chair that Jake had been sitting in only moments earlier and let himself fall into it.
I'm sorry, he said quickly. I don't know what I did.
Shelley says you helped another, Ash reminded him.
I didn't know I wasn't supposed to, he replied. He was so tired, and he had a family. I just wanted him to finally have enough to pay his way out.
Ash nodded. And you did this knowing you would not get out, he asked. Liam nodded.
I don't deserve to be out, he muttered.
Ash scrubbed his hand over his face. Okay, I can't deal with this just now. I have things to do and this is unprecedented. I have to do some digging to find out how to handle this. He turned to Shelley. You can go, he told her. I'll take it from here. Shelley nodded her pretty head and turned and left without another word. Jake watched her go. Shelley, what a pretty name. It fit the pretty demon. His heart skipped a beat when she walked in, and he was actually disappointed when she left. Whoa, wait. Since when did he find demons attractive? Good gravy. If he wasn't going to hell to begin with, he was certainly going now. Oh, wait. He was already there. He shook his head and wondered if any of this would ever make sense. As for you, Ash said to Liam, seemingly unaware of Jake's inner turmoil, I have to keep you where I can keep an eye on you until I figure this out. Ash pointed at the man, and his body lifted from the chair and was carried on the air to the corner. A steel cage appeared out of thin air, and Ash motioned with his hand for the man to go in. He floated in, and the door closed with a loud clang. If it hadn't all been about 12 on his weird shit-o-meter, Jake would have found the man's face comical as he floated into his cage. I'm sorry, Jake, Ash said, finally getting back to where they were. I just have one more thing, he said. He picked up his phone again and said, Hey, love, can you come in here for a moment? Another second passed, and a woman with long, dark hair came into the room. She smiled and went straight to Ash. She leaned down and planted a kiss on his cheek. What's up? She asked. Jake couldn't stop staring at her. She was beautiful, yes, but it was the way she moved. Graceful, but fast. Damned fast. And she looked very familiar. And then it connected in his brain. I know who you are, he gasped. You're a doctor at the hospital. And you, he said, turning to Ash. You were at the wedding. You both were. Elizabeth smiled and her fangs showed through. Holy shit, Jake mumbled. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. He shook his head. He lived in a world where some paranormals chose to live out in the open, so it shouldn't have surprised Jake that the lovely doctor was a vampire. She hadn't always been, that much he knew, but it looked good on her. I need you to contact Antonio, Ash told her. I don't know what to do about this, he said, pointed at the man in the cage. Can do, she said. It's nice to see you again, Jake. She zipped out of the room as fast as she entered it. Wow, Jake breathed. In an instant, Ash was out of his chair and had Jake's body slammed against the wall. His arm was over Jake's throat, cutting off his air supply. Never look at her, Ash growled. Jake's eyes widened in fright. The leader of hell had him pinned, and the man's eyes were glowing red. She is mine, he bellowed. His voice was deep and had an echo to it, almost as if two people were talking at the same time.
Hadn't Ash been adamant that he wasn't a demon? Jake was having a pretty hard time believing that statement at that moment. The man looked like evil incarnate. Jake forced air into his lungs and grunted out, "Sorry, didn't mean it." Ash let go, and Jake's body dropped to the floor in a heap. He gulped in air and rubbed his neck. "I wasn't saying anything bad about her," he managed to say. "She is pretty, but not my type, man." The low growl emanating from Ash was not a promising sign. "I was only remarking on how weird this shit is," Jake continued. "I knew I saw you before, but didn't know where. Now I do. I saw her too." Ash forced himself to calm down. "There are some very important rules here," he said through gritted teeth. "Elizabeth is mine. No one touches her. Ever." Jake nodded. "Acceptable," he said. "No innocents are harmed. Ever." Ash continued. Jake nodded. "And don't fuck with me." "Wouldn't dream of it," Jake said. "Okay," Ash said, getting back into his chair, and suddenly acting as if he hadn't almost tore Jake a new one. Where were we? Dear God, what had he gotten himself into? Chapter 2. It seemed like an eternity waiting while Ash put information into the computer. Finally, finally, he pushed himself away from it and locked eyes with Jake. This time, instead of blazing red, they were a kind blue. Jake felt some molecule of relief. "Now we take the tour and then go to your funeral," Ash announced. His funeral. The words banged around in Jake's head. He knew he was dead, but the word funeral made it real. Concrete. Did he want to go to his own funeral? Yeah, he did, he realized. He wondered who would be there. Would there be crying? Or would the world laugh and drink and be merry about his passing? Or maybe no one would show up at all? "It's important that you do this," Ash was saying. "You need to say your goodbyes, just as much as those who are still living need to let you go." Jake shook his head. "I doubt anyone is grieving too hard over me," he said under his breath. "Why is that?" Ash asked him. Jake sighed. "You probably already know that I am no angel," he started. "I do know this," Ash replied. "I did a lot of wrong in my life. I cheated. I gambled. I fought." Jake hung his head. "I think you should tell me about your life," Ash said, leaning back in his seat. "We have some time before we have to go." He didn't tell Jake that he already knew everything. He wanted to hear it from the source. Plus, he wanted to see how honest this man would be with him. If he were going to be one of the guards, he didn't need any skeletons in the closet. "I want nothing less than the truth," Ash told him. Jake breathed in deep and let it out slowly. He nodded his head and started talking. "I was born into a wonderful family. My parents were great. I was an only child, so I suppose I was a little spoiled. I did everything a good son was supposed to do. I went to school, got good grades, and then when my father passed away when I was 20, I took care of my mom until she could do it herself. Dad was a firefighter, and for as long as I can remember, that was what I wanted to do. About a year after Dad passed, I met Rianne. She was everything I ever wanted in a woman. She was beautiful, curvy, smart, and sweet. And what was even better, she put up with me. That was until the day I gambled away our savings. You see, I started gambling when I turned 18. It started small, with scratch-off lottery tickets and pick threes. Then, I graduated to casinos. I always made sure the bills were paid, though, so she let it slide for a long time. When I lost more than I could afford, I started taking out loans. I knew I had a problem, but I thought I could handle it. When I would win, I won big. But when I lost even bigger. She decided it was time to move on the day that a giant bookie named Tiny came to our home. He offered to remove my kneecaps if I didn't pay him. That was when Rianne had enough. She packed her things and left. After a couple of weeks, she said she would only come back if I sought help. I wanted to. I really did. But I thought if I could just get one more big score, I could pay off all the debt I owed, and we could go back to having a happy life again. Well, that didn't happen. I lost our house, our car, and everything we had both worked so hard for. It was after the foreclosure that Rianne filed for divorce. I suppose it was just as well. I didn't even fight her for it. Since then, I have been fighting fires and fighting in the ring. I fight to make money, and then I spend the money on gambling. I hurt her, and I hurt my mother. Now, I will never get the chance to tell them how sorry I truly am. That's my life in a nutshell. Anything else you want to know? Ash sat back in his chair and let Jake talk it out. Greed, pride, either of those could be his sin. But he wasn't all bad. How many lives had the man saved? Ash didn't know, and he was willing to bet that Jake didn't either. I think that about covers it, he finally said. Now, can you tell me more about this job? Jake asked. It's simple, really. You give your soul over to God. He makes you a warrior angel. You fight by my side and help keep the peace. Not much to it. Ash leaned forward in his chair. Unless you have changed your mind. Jake shook his head. I know I am going to hell for what I have done, he said. I would rather be an employee than a resident. All right, then, Ash said, standing. Let's get this tour underway, and then we can start your training. Jake stood as well. Why me? He asked. Of all the people in the world, why did you choose me? Ash shrugged his shoulders. I don't really have an answer for that, he said. I saw you save a man's life, and there was just something about you that called to me. But I am damaged goods, Jake reminded him. Ash looked him in the eyes for a moment before saying, We all are. Chapter 3. Jason stared at his laptop in disbelief. Can you believe this shit? He shouted. What? Caleb asked, shining his blade. This, Jason said, pointing at his email. Caleb walked over and looked over his friend's shoulder to read the offending email. Huh? He said. New management. Get a life. Yeah, Jason muttered. This new guy in hell thinks he's the boss of all. Who the fuck does he think he is? We devoted our lives to Lucifer, and now this new fucker thinks he can just toss us aside. Like trash. I don't fucking think so. Jason and Caleb had spent years recruiting souls for Lucifer. They were saddened by his loss, but the fact that someone new had taken over and did not appreciate their efforts was maddening. What are we gonna do? Caleb asked him. Well, first, I'm gonna email him back and tell him what a douche he is. Then, we're gonna consult the Grimoire. He thinks he is so big and bad, I think we better knock him down a peg or two. Jason slammed his fist on the top of the table. I think it's time we use the spell to open the gateway. Caleb raised a brow. We don't have the power for that, he said. We will, Jason told him. First, we get our hands on a demon. Call Laura. We need that witch to help us out with a spell or two. Caleb did as he was told. He pulled out his phone and unlocked the screen before finding the witch in his list of contacts. He wasn't sure about his friend's notion of opening the gateway, but it was sure as shit be fun to fuck with this new leader, ungrateful bastard that he was. An hour later, there was a knock at the door. Caleb opened it to find Laura standing on the other side. Her dark brown hair was tied back in a severe knot behind her neck, and her slight frame was tilting to the side under the weight of her backpack. Come in, he said, opening the door wide for her. What's going on? She asked as she dropped her pack to the floor. Jason and Caleb filled her in on the new situation in hell and what they meant to do. You want to open the portal between hell and earth? She asked. Do you actually understand what that would mean? Demons and humans alike will be able to cross over and back again, unhindered. Souls banished to hell would be able to leave at will and come here to cause trouble again. Demons who are locked away would roam free. Is that what you really want? It is, Jason answered her. With the help of Balthazar, we can open it and close it again whenever we want. Laura rolled her eyes. You know he's in lockup. Jason smiled. I know. I intend to break him out. So you believe that by breaking him out, he is going to be willing to help you? What makes you think he won't just kill you on the spot? Laura shook her head. I don't think you have thought this through. We need the blood of a demon to summon him, not to mention a pretty damn powerful unlock spell. Oh, and did I mention that the demon blood must be given freely? Laura picked up her pack and unzipped it. Where are you planning to find a demon willing to give you their blood? It's like having their proper name. It's a way to destroy them and control them. I was thinking we would offer the demon of greed a deal he won't be able to refuse, Jason grinned. When we're successful, he can be our second in command. Greed won't deny us. It's not in the demon's nature. Have you met this demon? Laura asked. No, Jason answered, but I did my research. You mean you Googled it? Laura sighed. Okay, where do we start? We start by summoning the demon, Jason told her. And then we use its blood to break out Balthazar. And how do you know Balthazar will help? Laura asked him. Because he seeks vengeance, too, Jason said with a smile that said he was just too proud of himself. As much as she felt these men were unprepared, she knew time was of the essence, and she started gathering her supplies. Chapter 4. Jake was given the tour, starting at the top and working his way down. Ash stayed right beside him, as did a weird little man that looked like he was about 112 years old. Ash called him Mally and seemed to like him well enough. First stop with Sloth. Jake met a demon named Rogue, and although he had never met a demon up close and personal before, this one was nothing like he would have expected. First of all, he was nice. Second of all, he laughed. A lot. Not a crazy laugh, but a rich, deep, rolling laugh that was contagious. Jake also met Tinkerbell, the huge T-Rex that ate the souls in Sloth on a daily basis. They visited Lust, Gluttony, Envy, and Pride. Jake met each of the leaders there and was surprised at how easily he accepted this new world. Maybe it was because his brain was on short circuit. Ever since he landed on his ass in the caverns, he had been running on autopilot. By the time they reached the playground, Jake's head was threatening to burst. How could a dead guy get a headache? It shouldn't have been possible. But there it was, thumping away at his brain like a dance beat in a nightclub. They skipped Murder, Wrath, and Greed on their tour. Ash explained that he had toasted the leaders of Murder and Wrath for harming his mate. Jake nodded his agreement with that. For the time being, those sanctions were in a state of suspended animation until he found someone new to lead them. The leader of Greed just wasn't available at the time, so they skipped it and saved it for later. "I guess that's about it," Ash said. "We can visit Greed when we get back from your funeral, which we need to be leaving for if we're going to make it." "How?" Jake asked. "It can't be yet. I've only been dead a few hours." Ash nodded his head and sighed. "I know. It takes some getting used to. Time passes differently here than it does on Earth. There, it has been 3 days. "Shit," Jake muttered. "Exactly," Ash agreed. "Ready?" "I guess," Jake said. Ash took him by the arm, and Jake felt himself split into a million molecules. It didn't hurt, but it was a freaky as hell feeling. Jake started to panic. His heart leapt up into his throat and beat furiously against his brain, except he wasn't sure he even had a heart or brain. His body had gone from solid to something more like fog, and trying to wrap his brain around that feeling was impossible. He felt the floor slip out from underneath him, and then it was back again in the blink of an eye. It all happened so fast. One minute he was fog stuff, the next he felt whole again. He realized that his eyes were closed and opened them. His surroundings were completely different. He was in a church now. There were flowers lining the four walls and a casket at the back of the room. His casket, he realized. It was closed. As well it should be, he thought. He was crushed to death in a flaming building, after all. There probably wasn't a whole lot of remains left to say goodbye to. He looked to Ash, who nodded, and then Jake took a step into the room. His mother was there, sitting in the front row of chairs and sniffling softly. He walked over to her and saw that her eyes were brimmed with red, and her nose was swollen from blowing it repeatedly. His heart broke a little for her. She had been his rock for so many years. She gave him life, and he had wasted the perfect gift that she had given him. He wanted to touch her, to tell her that he was all right. But as he raised his hand to do just that, he stopped. What if he touched her, and she did feel it? He didn't know what kind of hocus-pocus he had going right at the moment, and he certainly didn't want to scare her. He didn't want to add years of nightmares to her already existing grief. His ex-wife was there as well. Although she wasn't actively crying, he could see by the red rim around her eyes that she had been. She felt the guilt build in his chest like a heavy brick. He had wronged her so badly. He wanted to shake himself for what he did to her. She had been happy in the beginning, but he ruined it. He ruined everything. "I am so sorry," he whispered in her direction. She sighed, but gave no indication that she could hear him. "Surreal, isn't it?" Ash asked him. "They can't see us," Jake mumbled. "No," Ash told him. "It's better for everyone if they don't. As far as they are concerned, you are at rest in heaven, and that is the way it stays. You can never contact them again. You must let them grieve and move on with their lives. After a time, you can check in on them once in a while, but it is better for everyone if you stay dead." Jake nodded. He liked the idea of his mother believing he was in heaven. He wasn't exactly in hell, but it was just really all about semantics at this point. His mother didn't need to know on any level that hell was a real place and run like a godforsaken business. There were many things he now knew that he didn't want his mother to know. Demons, angels. He walked around while the pastor did his service, and Jake made sure to say a small goodbye to all of his buddies from the fire station. He knelt down by his mother and told her how sorry he was, and not to worry. that he was safe now. He watched as her eyes lifted toward the ceiling, and a small, sad smile curved at her lips. She may not have been able to hear him, but she felt him. Jake knew it, and it gave him some measure of comfort. She had always been able to feel him. She had always known when he needed her, even now in his death. He looked back at his ex-wife. She was crying softly, and that ball of guilt returned in Jake's stomach. He had done this to her. He could have been better to her. He could have taken care of her. If he had only been the husband he had promised to be when she married him, maybe she wouldn't be hurting now. He knew that she loved him. He knew that he would always love her on some level. It just hadn't been enough, had it? All the love she had to give him wasn't enough to stop his selfishness and his greed. He hoped that she would one day forgive him and move on to someone who could make her happy. When all his goodbyes were said and the funeral was coming to a close, he turned to Ash, who had been standing quietly in the back of the room. "Let's go," he said, feeling better and worse at the same time. Ash nodded and took them both back to hell. Chapter 5. "That was really something," Jake muttered. "I know, right?" Ash agreed. "Now to get you dressed." Jake looked down at his clothes. He was still wearing the suit that he died in. "I guess I could do with getting out of this monkey suit," he agreed. "I've got something in mind that is much better," Ash told him. "More functional to your job." "As long as I don't have to wear horns," Jake said. Then he smiled. He imagined himself as a huge demon with horns like the guy in the movie Hellboy. "Maybe horns wouldn't be so bad," he said. "And a cat. I'll have to get a cat." Ash caught the reference and smiled. "No cats." "Spoil sport," Jake smiled. Ash laid his hand on Jake's shoulder, bowed his head, and closed his eyes. "Father," he said, "this man has proven his worth. I ask you take him into our fold and make him one of ours." Father? Was he talking to... No way. Jake shook his head. No way was Ash talking to God. He didn't have much time to dwell on it, though. His back began to burn like it was on fire. He twisted around in an attempt to look at his own back, but it was useless. The more he turned, the less he could see. The pain was blinding, and eventually Jake had to double over on himself. "What are you doing to me?" he cried out. "Just another minute," Ash told him calmly. "Burns like a bitch." "No fucking shit," Jake shouted, as a particularly sharp pain lanced through his back. The burning intensified, and a sheen of sweat broke out all over his body. Was he going to burn for his sins anyway? He thought that when he agreed to help Ash, that he was getting out of that, but apparently not, given the way his skin was on fire. Jake had been through many fires in his lifetime. He had felt the heat against his skin, felt the blisters rising from his own flesh, and still it was not as bad as this burning that caused no damage, yet felt worse than anything he had ever felt before. And then, as quickly as it began, the pain subsided. Jake was on the floor, on his hands and knees, panting for breath. He stayed there for a moment, getting his breathing right, and trying to process what just happened. The burning pain in his back was gone, but he still felt like there was a Mack truck parked on it. He forced himself to breathe steadily and pushed to his feet. If he was going to be tortured, he was going to do it with his head high. The pain had subsided, but Jake's body was still in full-on panic mode. "Deep breaths. Calm," he told himself. Finally, Jake was feeling a little bit closer to normal, and he craned his neck to look behind him. His eyes widened to the size of small saucers, and he twisted himself around in an attempt to get a better look. "I don't fucking believe it," he whispered. Where his back had been burning now, had a giant pair of wings jutting out from between his shoulder blades. The base of the wings were dark brown, but got lighter as the color moved away from his body. They were as tall as he was at 6'3", and broader than he was by a foot. They were a dark brown closest to his body, but the color changed from a dark brown to a tawny color as they went further from his back. They got paler and paler, and then at the feathered tips they were whiter than white. They shimmered when he moved them, and he was surprised at how easily he could move the giant appendages. They shimmered like magic. They were majestic and powerful, beautiful and functional. He hoped, anyway. "Pretty swank perks, right?" Ash asked him with a grin. "Fucking beautiful," Jake replied. "Wait till you learn to use them," Ash warned him. "Then it's the best thing you will ever experience." Jake grinned. Not burning in hell was pretty great. Add a pair of beautiful fawn wings to the mix, and he was one freaking happy camper. He couldn't stop looking at them. "Make sure you thank him," Ash said quietly and pointed upward with his finger. Damn, a gift from God. Of course they would be brilliant. How could God do any less? A litany of all the ways he wanted to thank him churned through Jake's mind at about 100 miles an hour. But finally, Jake just turned his face up and said, "Thank you." And he meant it. Chapter 6. "I guess it's time to go and meet Shelley," Ash said nonchalantly, as if getting wings were an everyday occurrence. "I want everything done as by the book as possible, because I don't want any holes," Ash continued, but Jake was barely listening. He was concentrating on those wings on his back. When he moved, they moved. They lilted from side to side with every step he took. They lifted slightly when he stepped onto the stairs, and then they let themselves back down again when he was on level ground. It was as if they had always been a part of him, yet had a mind of their own as well. He didn't make a conscious effort to move them, yet they moved when they needed to. He would have thought with that much weight on his back that he should have had to lean forward to counter it, or fallen on his face already. But again, the wings seemed to know how to sit idle in exactly the right position he needed them in. "Are you listening to me?" Ash asked, bringing Jake out of his own head. Jake snapped to attention. He hadn't realized how far they had gone until he looked around himself. They were standing in front of the entry to Greed, and Ash had his hand poised over the electronic panel that would unlock the door with his touch. "Sorry," Jake admitted. "I'm trying here, but it's hard." "I feel that," Ash told him. "You gotta pay attention, though. It's not all flowers and daisies down here." Jake nodded. "I can do better," he promised. He swore to himself that he would do better. This was his only chance to be someone better than he had been before. He steeled his will as Ash pushed open the heavy steel doors. Immediately inside, there was a large desk and that same pretty woman from Ash's office sitting behind it. Her hair reminded him of flames in the night, dark red highlighted by golden blonde, waving like flames. He was drawn to it like a moth. He wondered if it was soft to the touch, or if it would burn him. He knew by the look in her eyes that any touch from her would burn, but would it be in a good way or a bad way? "Oh, hi there, Ash," Shelley cooed from behind her desk. She eyed Jake, who was standing behind her leader. "Did you bring me something?" Yes, she could feel it. This was one of hers. "Not exactly," Ash told her. "Finishing up our tour. This is Jake." "Oh, thank you. I believe he is one of mine. I was just wondering where he made off to," she said with a smile. She took in his appearance, tall with broad shoulders, dark hair that was a bit too long, but she liked it. His eyes were brown as milk chocolate and wide with confusion. His features were sharp, almost angular. He had a perfect square chin just below a full lower lip. His top lip was out of proportion, though. It was a bit too small for the bottom one. They looked soft in comparison to his hard face and the hard lines of his body. She noticed the wings that were folded neatly behind his back, but she didn't care about that. "I think you are mistaken," Ash told her. "Jake is going to be one of my new guards. This is his orientation." "No," she said with a shake of her head. "He is mine, see?" She held her hand out, palm up, and a tablet appeared in it. "Says right here, Jake the Flame Rogers. He was supposed to check in 2 days ago." Ash narrowed his eyes at the leader of Greed. "He has been with me," he told her. Jake heard them arguing over him, but he was mad distracted. Everywhere he looked were people gathering gold and making piles. They were gathering riches for themselves, and some even fought with each other over it. He witnessed one man yanking the chain that was around his ankle and using it to strangle another man with it. So much gold, he thought. I could pay off everything and still have plenty left over. He wondered what it would be like to just touch one of those gold nuggets. Just one. "Hey!" Ash's voice boomed. "What the hell?" Jake immediately turned his attention back to Ash. He didn't know what to say. "So much gold," he muttered. He hadn't realized that he was walking away from Ash and into the realm, wandering off into Greed all by himself. "I told you," Shelley said. "He's mine." Ash looked between Shelley and Jake, who was watching the realm with a glint in his eye. "Well, shit. This was his sin. We gotta go now," Ash said, practically dragging Jake with him as he headed for the doors. "Shelley, check your records again. I have already entered him into the system." "But I want to stay a bit longer," Jake whined, actually whined, as Ash yanked him out of Greed. "Sorry, buddy, but it's gotta be this way. You can't stay here. If you do, you belong to Shelley forever." Ash continued to forcibly remove him from Greed. Jake allowed Ash to pull him along. Be Shelley's forever, he thought. Would that really be so bad? She was gorgeous to a fault. And by fault, he meant that she knew it. But hey, no one was perfect. But that demon, she was about as close to perfection as Jake had ever seen. She could call him hers if she wanted to. He was starting to imagine all the ways he would let her claim his soul. Wait, that was a bad thing, wasn't it? Or was it? Jake was confused. He wanted to go back in there. He wanted to see Shelley. And he wanted to see that gold and riches again. Ash was merciless as he dragged Jake away. He was Ash's first choice as a guard, and he'd be damned if he let the man's sin get the better of him. Besides, who had time to go and find another guard? Once they were back in Ash's office, Jake was thinking more clearly. What the fuck had just happened in there? He knew that Shelley was pretty and all, but he was willing to give over his very soul to stay there with her. He was starting to think that it may not just be her that was calling to him. You better now? Ash asked him as they stopped in front of his office doors. Yeah, Jake said. I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me back there. I do, Ash told him. Greed was your big sin on Earth. If I hadn't grabbed you up, you would be condemned to stay there for all eternity. How did you know I was losing it? Jake asked him. Because your eyes lit up like a kid at Christmas, Ash answered. You saw gold and riches, right? Jake nodded. Everyone else sees it for what it really is. A big fat pile of worthless rocks. Ash shook his head. Poor saps spend all their time trying to buy their way out, and it just isn't going to happen. Shelley says no one ever gets out. I don't think you would make a very good guard if you're trapped in greed, do you? Come on, we're almost finished, and then I have an assignment for you. Ash pushed open his office doors and motioned for Jake to go in first. Jake did, and then he saw the strangest thing. There was a huge angel sitting at Ash's desk. He was kicked back in the chair and had his feet propped up on his desk. The angel was also shoveling cookies into his mouth two and three at a time. Hey, guys, the angel said without moving his feet. Antonio, Ash groaned. You know I hate it when you eat at my desk. I know, Antonio replied. But I don't mind, and so as long as one of us is reasonable, I figured why not. Beat it, Ash barked, and the angel moved his feet off the desk and stood up. How's it going so far? He asked. This is Jake, Ash mumbled as he brushed cookie crumbs off his desk and chair. Hey, Jake from State Farm, Antonio said, sticking out his hand. Jake reluctantly took it and gave it a quick shake. Ha ha, Jake said without humor. That's one I never heard before. You're so original. The statement was accented by a roll of his eyes. Ash snorted and then covered it with a cough. Jake. Antonio helps out around here. He is assisting me with finding new guard members. He helped me find you. Jake pondered this new information for a moment. I guess I should thank you. No thanks needed, Antonio said with a grin. That was when Jake saw the angel's entirely too long incisors. Antonio seemed to know what he was thinking. Yeah, those are fangs. I used to be a vampire. Or, I guess I still am. Who knows? Jake was on some serious information overload. It was just too much to take in. Shelley and greed, the vampire, the funeral. He didn't know what to process first. Never in his life had he considered that hell was run by a giant angel who had another giant angel assist in a huge office building that contained the different levels of hell. He never imagined he would have wings himself. I know, it's crazy, right? Ash said to him. It's just going to get crazier. Embrace it or go nuts yourself. You said something about an assignment, Jake reminded Ash. Maybe that was what Jake needed, a distraction. Something to focus on in this big old ball of what the fuck. Oh, yes, he said. It's easy. I got my eye on another potential guard, and I want you to keep an eye on her. Her, Jake repeated. Hey, don't knock the chicks, Antonio piped in. Some of the fiercest warriors are women. But a female, Jake said with a shake of his head. I have a hard time with that. We're supposed to protect females, not throw them into the line of fire. Ash felt the corner of his mouth lift in a half smile. He thought of his own mate and his need to protect her, which brought on the thoughts of how well she protected herself. He thought about Shelley and her own skills as a fighter. I tell you what, Ash told him. Your training needs to get started, and I want you to train with me, Antonio, and two of the best female fighters I have. If they don't convince you that a female would make a great warrior, nothing will. I am not going to fight a woman. Jake shook his head. I can't. Antonio laughed out loud. Well, you best prepare yourself because they ain't going to have any qualms about kicking your ass. Chapter 7. Jake was led out of the office area and into the caverns. He had already learned that the caverns used to be where Lucifer held meetings and forced all of hell to bow at his feet. Ash used it now as a training center and a triage of sorts. Souls that entered Hell were accounted for, each and every one of them. When they arrived, Antonio and Shelley were waiting for them. "So I get to kick your sorry ass," Shelley said with a pleased expression. Jake shrugged. "I don't think so," he retorted. "Sorry I'm late," Elizabeth chimed as she pranced into the cavern. Jake watched the expression on Ash's face go from fierce to tender, like flipping a light switch. The man loved his mate. That was clear. Jake felt a twinge of jealousy. He wanted that kind of love, but he had ruined his chance long ago. He wasn't even entirely sure that he had been in love with Rianne. Loved her, yes, but in love. Jake thought maybe he wouldn't know real love if it slapped him in the face. A blinding pain exploded in his cheek, causing his head to jerk to the side, and he tasted blood in his mouth. He quickly gained his composure and saw that Shelley, leader of Greed, had bitch-slapped his ass hard. "What the fuck?" he growled. She smiled sweetly at him. "Time to get to work, princess," she cooed. "I already told you," Jake said, rubbing his chin. "I will not fight a female." Shelley rolled her eyes. "You do realize that I am a demon, right?" Jake shrugged his shoulders. "Doesn't matter. I can't do it. I won't." Ash laughed out loud. "That is one of the reasons I completely respect you," he said between barks of laughter. "It's also what is going to make this extremely interesting." Well, that didn't sound good. Jake watched as Elizabeth, Ash, and Antonio backed away, leaving him alone in the center of the training room with Shelley standing across from him. There were creatures gathering around. Some looked human, but most did not. There were these tiny little things that had distorted faces and gnarled joints that had saliva dripping from their mouths. Their skin was a sickly gray color, and they didn't seem to have any hair whatsoever. They were demons with red skin and demons with black skin. Some had horns, others didn't. And then there was Shelley. She stood about 3 feet in front of him, looking every bit the goddess she thought she was. She sure didn't look like a demon. "You ready?" she asked, crouching slightly and grinning like a feral cat. "What kind of name is Shelley for a demon anyway?" he asked, watching her sway slightly from side to side. He couldn't take his eyes off her, even if he wanted to. She was so beautiful, so elegant. His heart thundered in his chest as he watched her watch him. He knew that if he gave her an opening, no matter how small, she would take it. It was just like being in the ring when he was alive. The big difference was, he wasn't alive, and his opponent was female. "It's a nickname," she growled. Her hands curled into claws at her side. She moved to the left, and Jake countered to the right. "It isn't very intimidating," he baited her. "I don't need an intimidating name, Jake the Flame," she said sarcastically. Jake had been an underground fighter for years, and he had learned to watch his opponent's body language. He knew the instant Shelley decided to strike. She pushed off with the balls of her feet and lunged at him. Jake moved to the side, easily dodging her attack. She growled under her breath and moved for him again. Was it bad that he thought she was sexy as hell when she was in attack mode? He moved again to dodge her, but she was fast and her elbow connected with his throat. He gasped for air, and while he was fighting back the tears that were stinging in his eyes, she used the opportunity to throw her arm out in front of him while tucking her leg behind him. Jake went down, hard. The gathering of demons cheered, and Shelley threw both fists into the air in victory. "You're just toying with him," Elizabeth shouted from the sidelines. "Let me have a crack at him." Shelley danced her way over to where Elizabeth stood and high-fived her. Then Elizabeth walked into the makeshift ring. Hell, they were tag-teaming him. Jake got to his feet and steadied himself. This woman in front of him was a vampire, and she was his boss's mate. No freaking way he could fight her. No way at all. That didn't stop Elizabeth from coming at him. She moved with vampire speed, and before Jake knew what was going on, she had him on the ground, pinned beneath her body. She was sitting on his chest and grinning. "You gotta up your game," she told him before jumping off him and allowing him to stand. Jake looked at Ash in a silent plea for help. His body wanted to fight, but his brain would not allow it. Elizabeth, however, didn't seem to have a problem in that department. She came at him again, and even though Jake tried to dodge her attack, he was too slow for her. She crashed into his chest, football style, and tackled him to the floor. In the blink of an eye, he was on his stomach, and she had his head in her hands. His neck was craned back as far as it would go. If her hand twitched even the slightest bit, his neck would be broken. "You gonna let the girls kill you?" Antonio shouted. "Fuck you!" Jake forced out. It was barely more than a harsh whisper. but he knew Antonio heard it by the amused laughter that followed the sentiment. Elizabeth got down so that her mouth was right next to his ear. "If I were your enemy, you would be dead now," she whispered. "Fight me. You won't hurt me. Defend yourself." Jake was at a loss. Did he let the woman make a mockery of him, or did he fight? Did he dare risk the wrath of Ash by taking a swing at his mate? Ash made the decision for him. "If you don't get up off your ass and fight back, I'm going to fire you," Ash shouted over the laughter of the crowd. Oh, hell no. Jake was not getting fired. He wasn't giving up his wings, and he wasn't giving Shelley the satisfaction of putting him in her realm where he was supposed to go. No. He placed his hands flat on the floor and pushed himself up with all the strength he had. Elizabeth was tossed off his back like a rag doll. He spun around to see how badly he hurt her, but to his surprise, she had landed on her feet and was already on the prowl back to him. He felt his wings twitching at his back. When she lunged at him again, they spread from his back and he jumped up. Jake couldn't stop the grin that spread across his face. He was hovering in the air. His wings were beating gently and his body was just high enough off the ground that the little vampire couldn't reach him. She humped and stomped over to the sidelines where Shelley waited, bouncing on her feet. Elizabeth slapped her hand and Shelley came running into the ring. "This is good," Jake thought. "I have been here 1,000 times before." He wasn't expecting the beautiful redhead to be able to reach him in the air. But, what do you know? Girl could jump. She leapt into the air and grabbed him by his boots. She yanked him down to the ground and threw a right hook directly into his jaw. "Defend yourself," she demanded. Jake tried to swing at her, but it lacked conviction. It was all he could do to avoid her surprisingly powerful blows. Shelley jumped in the air again and landed behind his back. She grabbed a hold of his wings and yanked them in and up. Pain exploded behind Jake's back. It started where the wings were attached and spread throughout his body. He couldn't move. Hell, he couldn't think. It hurt so bad. "Defend yourself," she growled at him. Jake commanded his body to move, but it just wasn't in the mood to listen to him. She yanked harder on his wings, and Jake felt something in himself snap. His vision took on a red hue, and something gave him the strength to reach over his own head and behind him. He knew when he felt the silk of Shelley's hair in his hand, and pushed his arm further until he had the back of her neck in his hand. He closed his fingers around her slender neck and pulled her over his head. Shelley didn't weigh much to begin with, and combined with his body's need to be pain-free, it was like lifting a feather through the air. She sailed over his head and landed with a thud on the floor. Jake growled as he shifted his shoulders, allowing his wings to settle back in their appropriate place. Shelley brushed her hair out of her face with one hand and smiled. "Now that's more like it," she cheered as she got to her feet. The horde of demons cheered louder. "Again!" And she came at him again. His eyes were glowing red and his face had taken on a serious look that made her inside simmer. If she thought he was nice to look at before, he was breathtaking now. He radiated with power that he didn't realize he had. Jake couldn't shake the red tint from everything he saw. He saw Shelley coming for him, and he was ready. She faked a punch to his face but dropped at the last second, kicking her leg out and swiping it around. She connected with his shins, but he didn't budge. It was as if he turned the pain receptors in his body off. He pushed at her, causing her to stumble backward, but she came again. She flashed herself from one point to another, never staying where Jake could get his hands on her. Then she appeared behind him. She reached up and fisted his hair in her hand, yanking his head back. She had a dagger in her hand and pressed it to his throat. "If you were human, you would be dead now," she growled at him. "I am human," Jake replied as Shelley released him. "Is that what you think?" she asked, coming around his body to face him. His eyes had returned to their normal color, and his features were relaxed. "You think you're human?" Jake nodded. "Ugh," Shelley groaned, throwing her hand in the air. "Ash," she called out. "Fix him." Ash stepped forward. "You are not human anymore," he told Jake. "You are an angel, an elite warrior." He hefted an enormous sword into the air and threw it at Jake. "Now fight like one." Chapter 8. Jake caught the sword as it sailed to him. It was heavy, yes, but he found that he could handle it. The handle was made of ivory and fit his hand as if it had been made for him. He looked down the perfectly weighted blade and saw that it was honed to a razor-sharp edge. It was deadly. "Antonio!" Ash commanded, and Antonio stepped into the ring. The gathered demons fell into a hush as Antonio pulled a similar sword from his hip. "My turn," the angel said to Jake. The warrior's hair had been tied back behind his neck, and the light glinted off his chainmail-covered chest. His dark eyes had gone from laughing and playful to serious and lethal. Jake had no doubt that playtime was over. They had let the women spar with him only to get him riled up. This was where his real training would begin. "I won't take it easy on you," Antonio said with a feral grin that showed his sharp fangs. This man was not just an angel. He had been a predator in life as well. Jake's stomach turned to lead as dread filled his veins. He was going to die. Again. He knew it. His pity party was cut short, though, because Antonio made his move. He lunged for Jake with the tip of his sword. Jake didn't have time to move. The blade sliced easily into his torso like a hot knife through butter. Pain burned him from the inside out. Antonio pulled his blade back, and Jake looked down at himself. He expected to see his blood rushing from his body, but there was none. He did have a cut where the blade had connected, but it was closing fast. He looked up at Antonio and then to Ash. Both men were smiling.
"How? What?
This is..." Jake stammered. "I told you," Ash said. "You're an angel. Now learn to fight." Jake grinned, and Antonio moved to strike him again. This time, Jake was prepared and lifted his sword to block him. The sound of metal against metal clashed and echoed in the caverns. The crowd of spectators went wild with cheers. Jake saw Antonio swing sideways, and he spun around to meet the blow. Their swords hit so hard that it vibrated all the way up Jake's arm and rattled his teeth, but he didn't dare lose concentration. He now knew that it would take a lot to kill him, but he was sure it was still possible. Over and over again, Antonio came at him, and Jake blocked it each time. The sounds of their sparring session rang throughout the caverns. Jake felt like a knight from the medieval ages. He felt like King Arthur. He felt invincible. He blocked another blow with his blade, but Antonio had other plans. His fist connected with Jake's face, with a force that knocked him back. He stumbled over his own feet and damn near fell. The demons cheered, and Jake felt his ears burning with embarrassment. He felt his embarrassment turn to anger. He was going to kill that angel. Jake leapt forward and tried to cut Antonio off at the knees, but the angel jumped out of the way. He took flight and forced Jake to follow suit. He leapt into the air and spread his wings. Around and around, Antonio flew with Jake hot on his heels. "Land, damn it!" Jake shouted at him. The only response he got was laughter, which pissed him off more. That red hue was back again. Jake could feel his emotions boiling under the surface of his skin. He was getting more and more frustrated the longer he couldn't catch that damn angel. Maybe the fucker would fly too close to that wall of fire and catch fire himself, Jake thought. That would be fun. And that was when Jake saw it. Fire was licking up the sides of the cavern, moving across the ceiling. Antonio landed and looked around. "Whoa," he said. "About time," Jake muttered, and swooped down for the kill. "Wait," Antonio shouted. Jake stopped and hovered above him. "Did you do this?" he asked, pointing at the fire that was quickly spreading. Jake looked around, mesmerized by the flames. Orange and yellow flames, beautiful and graceful, were moving like a caress against the stone walls. Jake thought for them to move over the ceiling, and they did. He thought for them to move back, and they obeyed. He was controlling the fire. "Holy shit," Jake said in awe. "Could you put it out?" Antonio asked, wiping his brow. "It's kind of hot." Jake smiled and, in his mind, commanded the fire out. It shrank until it was nothing but a low burn and then winked out completely. "Guess we know what you can do," Antonio grinned. "Freaking fire bug." Jake grinned down at Antonio. Wait. Down. That was when he realized that he had been flying. Flying! It was also when he remembered that he didn't know how to fly, and his wings immediately stopped working. Jake fell to the ground in an ungrateful heap. Ow! Laughter erupted from all around him. But Jake couldn't get upset. Hell, he would have laughed his ass off, too. That was fun, Ash said, and the caverns went quiet again. They knew better than to speak while their leader was speaking. But now it's my turn. He pulled his own sword and lowered his head. That was all the warning Jake got before Ash was on top of him. Jake desperately fended off one blow after another. Ash wasn't messing around. Jake knew that if he gave his new boss an opening, his head would be disconnected from his body. Jake's arms burned from the weight of his blade, but he didn't dare cry uncle. He had never lost a fight in his life, and he wasn't about to start now. Ash finally dropped his blade and it clattered to the floor. Jake breathed a sigh of relief, thinking it was over. He was wrong. Ash had been toying with him. Now it was serious. Jake knew it because his leader had begun to growl, low in his throat. Then his eyes turned red. As if that weren't enough, Ash's skin broke out in black flames. They danced over his skin on a low simmer. Jake took a step back.
"Now we shall see what you are really made of," Ash growled in a voice that wasn't his own. It almost sounded like two different people talking at the same time.
With only a thought, Ash tossed Jake's body across the caverns. He slammed into the wall and dropped to the ground. Ash flicked his finger and Jake was on his feet again. Ash stalked toward him. Jake had no idea what to do. The man was a walking, talking nightmare. The man's eyes were glowing like hot coals, and his wings were spread out behind him like a black curtain of doom. And those flames, they looked like evil incarnate. He had thought that Ash was good, but now he was having some serious doubts. As the alleged angel stalked toward him, Jake found himself wishing that those black flames would go out. Maybe then he would look less like death itself. Ash's skin returned to skin, and the flames did go out. Jake breathed a sigh of relief until he saw Ash's face. It was confused. Ash had not put them out, which meant the caverns dropped into complete silence. No one dared to breathe as Ash looked from himself to Jake and back again. His confusion was replaced by rage. His eyes glowed brighter, and he continued his forward movement, this time hell-bent on revenge. "Oh, shit," Antonio called out from somewhere Jake didn't see. He didn't dare look away from Ash. "All hell's gonna break loose now. You better run, dude." Jake didn't have time to run before Ash was all over him. Jake found himself pinned to the wall by the power of Ash's mind. He couldn't move. He couldn't breathe. He couldn't think.
"Don't you ever," Ash growled, "ever put my fire out again."
The black flames returned with a fury. They licked over Ash's skin like a lover's caress. Jake could feel the heat off them and knew he was in some deep shit. The devil himself was pissed off, and Jake had done it. Or the new devil. Whatever, it didn't matter, because Jake's afterlife and this whole new angel thing was about to be cut very short.
"Not if you understand me," Ash growled in his face. "Never."
Jake couldn't move, much less nod. He willed the muscles in his neck to move, but all he got was a twitch.
"I will squeeze the life right out of you with only a thought," Ash continued. "Now fucking nod."
"Honey," Elizabeth said quietly, "you have to let him move or he can't nod." She had snuck up on them with silent feet and approached in the midst of Ash's fury. She was not afraid, though, and Jake saw why. As soon as she spoke, Ash's eyes lost some of their fury, and he backed away from Jake. Thank God for that woman, because he was pretty sure she just saved his ass. Jake took the opportunity to nod his head like a fucking bobblehead doll. He did a quick, silent check of his body to make sure nothing was broken or missing, or that he hadn't done something unforgivable, like pissing his pants. Lord knew his body had been thinking about it. "Good," Ash said, turning away from Jake and allowing him his free will again. "Now go see Mally about your assignment." Chapter 9. Jake was never going to get used to traveling at the speed of thought. It was disorientating at best. It made him nauseous and dizzy. He shook his head and focused his eyes, willing his stomach into submission. Jake took in his surroundings and realized that he was indeed back on Earth. He was standing in front of a house. It was a small one-story home nestled in the heart of a neighborhood that could have been anywhere in middle-class USA. The shrubs around the front of the house were neatly trimmed, and the walkway was lined with small flowers. He had landed himself in suburbia. "Quaint, isn't it?" Antonio asked from right behind Jake. He jumped and spun around.
"Give a guy a heart attack next time," Jake muttered.
"Sorry, I was just making sure you found the place all right." Antonio moved to stand beside him. "No worries. No one can see you standing here like a stalker."
"Good to know," Jake said under his breath, because stalking was definitely something he wanted to add to his work experience.
"Why am I stalking her?"
"Because the boss man told you to," Antonio answered. "Am I supposed to keep her safe? Is someone after her? I don't get it."
"Your assignment is to watch her," Antonio reminded him, "and report back to Ash. He can't keep his eyes open on everything all the time."
"I get that, but—" Jake started, but a noise from inside the house gave him pause.
"What the hell was that?" he asked. Antonio shrugged.
"Let's go find out," he said, and flashed himself into the house. Jake followed.
He was surprised at how easily he was catching on. He was getting used to traveling, even if it did make him sick, and he was getting used to the wings on his back. It was as if they had always been there. He didn't dwell for too long on that, though, because once he was inside the home, he could plainly see what was going on, and that made him sick in a whole different way. "You are useless," the man snarled. The woman, Lucy, Jake presumed, was sitting on her haunches in the corner of the room, hiding her face behind her hands. "All I asked for was some dinner," the man continued shouting. "Something edible, and then you try to feed me this shit." He slammed a pan full of fried chicken onto the floor. Hot grease went everywhere. "You trying to poison me?" he snapped.
"No," she cried out. "I just thought..."
"No," he interrupted her. "You don't think. You just do what I say. I can't believe that after I have it in me to marry your sorry ass, that you couldn't show a little more appreciation. What does it take to get a steak around here?"
"We couldn't afford it," she whispered.
"We might have been able to if you hadn't wasted my hard-earned money on that damned habit of yours," he snarled at her. He stomped over to where she was cowering and yanked her up by the collar of her shirt. "I told you not to spend my damned money."
"I didn't," she begged him. "I swear, it was a gift."
"From who?" he demanded. "Are you cheating on me? Who are you fucking enough that they want to buy you gifts?" He pulled his fist back, preparing to strike.
"My mother!"
she shouted at him. "Your mother was a whore who had you when she was a child herself. She doesn't love you and never will. Lie to me again," he dared her. She shook her head.
"I'm not lying."
"Never talk to me that way again," he shouted, and struck her hard in the face. Jake couldn't watch it anymore. He took two steps to show that son of a bitch what was what, when Antonio stopped him with a hand around his bicep. "Let me go," Jake hissed. "You can't interfere, man," Antonio said. "What? Am I supposed to sit here and watch her get beaten to death? This woman is supposed to be a guard." He shook his head. Jake was glad they couldn't see or hear him. "She can't even defend herself. This is why having a woman warrior is insane." "Do not be so quick to judge," Antonio reminded him. "The heart of the human is stronger than you think, and usually forged in courage. Courage comes from trial. This is her trial." "I can't sit by and watch this," Jake growled. "I'll kill the bastard." And then he went outside, spread his wings, and took to the sky. He muttered something about tiny penises and sick fucks as he shot out of sight. Antonio knew that Lucy was going through hell, but he also understood that her soul called to ash for a reason. Jake was right. Her soul wasn't ready to be a warrior. Yet. But one day it would be. Antonio had watched the scene unfold, just as Jake had. But he had seen something Jake had not. He saw the fire in this little woman's eyes. He could easily see that her soul was broken, her spirit trampled down under the weight of this pitiful excuse of a man. But that would change one day. Too many people were abused by the hands of those who pledged to love them. It was an unfortunate fact of life. There would always be predators, and there would always be victims. The soul's fate, however, was in their own hands. Some would break and die from the abuse. Others would grow into an abuser themselves. But a select few would rise above their situation and become fighters. They would fight for their freedom, and they would continue to fight to keep it. Those were the ones that made a difference in the lives of the people around them. Those were the ones who stood up and said, "No more." And not just no more for themselves, but no more for others as well. Lucy was one of those. Antonio completely felt Jake's frustration. He wanted to clock the bastard too, but he knew he couldn't. He wouldn't. He would allow Lucy to become the warrior she was destined to be. He let out his breath on a heavy sigh and stretched his wings to follow Jake before he got himself into trouble. And Lord knew that Jake was no stranger to trouble. It didn't take Antonio long to find him. All he had to do was consider what he would do himself. It seemed too long ago, when Antonio had realized he was dead and was forced to deal with life. After his initial freakout session, Antonio had headed to the nearest bar. It took a huge amount of alcohol to affect a vampire, and the fact that when his family found him, Antonio was three sheets to the wind, was a testament to how much he drank. So it was no surprise to find Jake passing back and forth in front of the nearest bar, cursing under his breath. "Hey," Antonio said softly, "how the fuck can I get rip-roaring drunk if no one can fucking see me?" Jake demanded, spinning on his heel to face the angel. His face was distorted with a combination of rage and frustration. Antonio's heart hurt for the man. This was so much for him to take in all at once. Hell, it was no cakewalk for Antonio when it had been him in this position. He could only imagine what it must be like for a human. "Come with me," Antonio said. "No, I'm getting drunk, just as soon as I figure out how." Jake turned his back on Antonio. "I know," Antonio said to his back, "but unless you want to explain to everyone why you have a huge set of wings and are wearing chainmail, I suggest you let me help you." Jake turned to look at him. "I'm listening." "Come on," Antonio said, walking around to the back of the building. Jake followed him. When they reached the back entrance, Antonio stopped. "What, are we breaking in?" Jake asked, eyeing the door. "No," Antonio said on a chuckle. "First you gotta get visible. Then we have to hide your wings." "And just how the fuck do I do that?" Jake asked. "You have to want to be seen," the angel told him. "Concentrate on that first." Jake did as he was told. He felt his body shimmer, for lack of a better description. Then Antonio nodded at him in approval. "Now make your wings disappear." Jake willed his wings away, and they obeyed. He stood there in front of Antonio, who had done the same thing. A mere man. There was nothing to indicate that Jake had become an elite warrior, or that he currently resided in hell. Hell, he had decided, was not necessarily in one specific place, but existed everywhere. "Now," Antonio said, "let's get a drink." Chapter 10. Jake followed Antonio into the little dive bar that he had chosen. It wouldn't have necessarily been Jake's first choice, but it was the first one he had come upon during his flight away from his charge. The air smelled of stale cigarette smoke, sex, and alcohol. The bar was lined with rough-looking men, as were the tables. There were two waitresses on staff, it appeared, and one bartender. The girls looked tired, and Jake was fairly certain that one of them was on meth. The bartender was built like a tank, and he made no secret of the shotgun he kept behind the bar. It was hanging like a trophy on a pair of hooks on the wall behind him, easy to access, and Jake had no doubt it was loaded and ready for action. "Nice place," Antonio said under his breath, as they found a cleanish table to sit at. "Beggars can't be choosers," Jake replied, taking a seat. "Hi, boys," their waitress said, standing by their table. "What are you having?" Jake just knew they were going to get the meth head to wait on them. "Tequila," Jake answered while trying not to make eye contact. "Make it two," Antonio said. The waitress grinned at Antonio with a definite come-hither look, never mind that she was missing half her front teeth, and the other half were rotting away in her gums. Jake rolled his eyes. Stupid Angel even smiled back at her. Jake thought the woman was going to faint. "Okay, sugar," she cooed. "Be right back." "Ew," Jake grumbled. "What?" Antonio grinned. "What can I say? I have a way with the ladies." "I never did understand meth," Jake grumbled. "Remember that I told you not to judge too quickly?" Antonio asked, throwing back his shot of Patron. "Yeah," Jake said on a harsh breath after downing his as well. "That lady," Antonio said, leaning forward with his elbows on the table, "she used to be a meth head. Now she's clean and sober. She's been working here for about 5 years now, paying her way through college." Jake nodded his head, properly put in his place. People could change. He should know. He was one of them. The change, however, wasn't always for the better. She might have changed her life, but the physical damage had been done. She was going to have a hard time replacing those teeth, and she needed to gain weight in the worst way. Just the knowledge about their server made Jake respect her. He didn't know how Antonio knew the things he did, and he didn't ask. He had enough on his mind at the time. Jake held up his hand and motioned for the server to bring them another round. Within minutes, she was there with a double for each of them. "Keep 'em coming," Jake told her, throwing back his drink. "In fact, just bring the bottle." The server smiled and sauntered off. She returned moments later with a full bottle of Patron tequila. Half a bottle later, Antonio and Jake were laughing like old friends. "You should have seen his face," Antonio bellowed around hoots of laughter. "It was kind of purple because the blue dye mixed with the red from anger." Jake howled and slapped the table at the thought. Antonio wasn't that bad after all, he decided. Who could not like him? "I tied my college buddy to his bed while he was passed out one time," he told Antonio. "I cut his clothes off of him and then called his girlfriend. Oh, man, she was pissed." "Oh, fuck no, you didn't," Antonio howled. "Did she kick his ass? Tell me there was some serious ass-kicking." Jake snorted. "It took 3 weeks to convince her that I did it as a prank." The men were laughing hysterically, but they didn't care. They tried to sober up when their server, Molly was her name, came over with a tray of shots. "Here you go, boys," she said, setting several drinks in front of each of them. "Starting off with a buttery nipple, then moving on to a wet pussy, then a blowjob, sex on the beach, And finally, a screaming orgasm. She pointed to each drink as she named them. Compliments of the ladies at the table by the window. She winked at Jake, and then went on about her other tables. Jake looked at the drinks, and then at the table of women who sent them over. "Well," he exclaimed, "looks like we are getting laid by liquor tonight." Antonio hooted and waved at the women. They giggled like schoolgirls and waved back. "Yep, 'cause Lord knows that is the only way we're getting any tonight." They each took their shots in the order they were laid out in front of them. Antonio waved the server back and said, "Send those lovely ladies another of whatever fruity concoction they are drinking." She smiled and nodded. "Man, I needed this," Jake said, leaning back in his chair and feeling relief for the first time since he died. "Me too," Antonio agreed. "I think that redhead has it for you," he pointed out. Jake immediately looked around, but the redhead he was looking for wasn't there. He wondered what Shelley was doing right at that moment, and his dick perked right up to agree with him. He took a deep breath and willed that appendage into submission. "Oh, that redhead isn't here," Antonio said with a knowing smile. "I don't know who you're talking about," Jake muttered around his glass before taking another drink. "I think, my friend," Antonio said with a toothy grin, "I think you do." Ash was sitting at his desk with Mally, trying to figure out just who some of the emails he was getting were actually from. "This just doesn't make any sense," Ash admitted, running his fingers through his hair. It was sticking up at weird angles from all the times he had done the same thing.
"I know that Lucifer used to communicate with several humans that he thought of as pets," Mally told him. "Unfortunately, I was not privy to who they were. He didn't like to tell me much of anything."
"I think maybe Antonio might know a little something about this," Ash said. "He seems to know a little bit about a whole lot."
"But no expert in anything," Mally finished for him with a smile.
Just then, Ash picked up his head. "What the fuck is that noise?" he snarled as he stood from his desk. It wasn't the cat in the washer sound that he had come to think of when Antonio sang. It was much, much worse. And there were two voices. He moved toward his office door to open it, expecting the worst. Antonio and Jake burst into the office as soon as Ash opened the door, singing "Since You've Been Gone" by Kelly Clarkson at the top of their lungs. The pair had their arms around each other less in show of affection and more for support, so that neither of them fell on their faces. The smell of liquor preceded them. But even if it hadn't, the empty bottle of tequila was a dead giveaway.
"What the hell?" Ash said with irritation.
"Hey, boss man," Jake slurred. "What's happening?"
He held his hand out as if to shake Ash's hand. Ash clapped his hand into his newest guard's and held it steady for a moment while Jake staggered a bit. Ash eyed Antonio suspiciously. "Why do I feel like this was your fault?"
"Nope, no sir," Antonio belted out. "All his idea. Old boy here needed a drink. And you know, friends don't let friends fly drunk alone."
He pointed to Jake, who was giving him the stink eye. "Snitch," he mumbled under his breath. Ash scrubbed his hand over his face and took several breaths. Would he never catch a break? "Go to bed," he commanded, "both of you."
"'Kay, boss,"
Jake said, saluting Ash with one hand and holding Antonio with the other.
"Righto, Capitan," Antonio cheerfully chimed in. "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to bed we go."
They walked, staggered out of Ash's office. They were weaving back and forth through the hallway, laughing under their breath.
"Shh," one of them said. "Stand up straight, you fucking drunk," the other said.
Ash even thought he heard Jake ask,
"Do you think we can get the redhead to go to bed, too? She's pretty."
Ash refused to bang his head on the wall. It was tempting, though. He sighed and prayed, "Dear Lord, grant me strength or patience. Hell, I think I am going to need both in spades." Chapter 11. Jake was standing alone in his room when Shelley barged through the door.
"You think you're something special, don't you?"
Shelley grumbled at Jake. She looked him over from head to toe and back again. He was a respectable height, with broad shoulders and a lean waist. His legs were powerful, she already knew. The white t-shirt he wore stretched over his muscles, and she could see their contours easily through the thin material. He was hers. How dare he think any different? How dare he show concern for any woman but her? So what if it came naturally to him? She didn't like it, and that was all that mattered. "I'm not special," he mumbled, fixing himself a drink of water. His head was pounding. Why did he drink so much? "I don't get any of this." "You're a fighter in life," Shelley told him. "That's why Ash chose you."
"I fought fires," he said,
and I fought people for money. That is hardly noble.
The fire part is, she reminded him, I did some checking. You gave your life helping others. There is no greater sacrifice.
But Jake knew that wasn't true. He had sacrificed his heart for his own selfish greed. He had lost his one and only chance at love, and it was his fault. He deserved the eternity of loneliness he was facing.
Are you pissed that I got the better of you? Shelley asked, making herself comfortable on his bed.
I am a demon. You can't help it that you're just not as awesome as I am.
Jake spun around to face her.
I'm not human anymore, he reminded her. See these wings? He pointed over his shoulder. Those mean I am angel, not demon. I should be able to kick your butt across the caverns and back again.
Then what stopped you? She asked arrogantly.
Jake shook his head and sighed.
I can't hit a woman. Never could.
Well, she said, shaking her head. That's a weakness if I ever heard one.
We all saw what you did with the fire.
You know what you can do. Having a weakness is like having a bullseye painted on your chest. Demons will see it and go straight for it. Every time.
Jake watched her move as she talked. She was graceful and fluid in every move she made, each deliberate and purposeful.
So what if his eyes were still seeing tracers from all the alcohol he had consumed?
She turned to look at him, and her hair flipped over her shoulder.
I do not have a weakness, he said a little breathlessly. But she had that effect on him. Already, his blood was on fire for her, and his heart was hammering in his chest. He felt like a schoolboy on his first date. But this wasn't a date. This was a demon trying to goad him, as if to prove his thoughts correct. She tilted her head and narrowed her eyes at him.
When are you going to give up and let greed claim you? She asked sweetly.
Jake stood straighter, forcing himself to sober. I will never be a part of your realm, he promised her.
You can take that to the bank, sweetheart.
It ain't happening. Shelley got closer to him and walked her fingers over his chest.
Oh, make no mistake, she said quietly. You are mine.
I know that Ash is letting you play hero for now, but eternity is a long time. You'll come around eventually and succumb to your greed.
But how long can you resist me?
Not very long, Jake admitted to himself. He could smell her.
Smell her?
She smelled of flowers and other girly shit, but under that she smelled like sex in the sun.
Hot, musky.
His body reacted to her immediately, and his pants were quickly getting too tight. She leaned in and sniffed his neck.
You want me?
Not a question, but a statement of fact. Shelley leaned in and licked the side of his neck. There was no teasing or gentleness to it. She was tasting him.
She approved.
Tell me you don't want me. Jake fisted his hands at his side. The truth was, he did want her. He wanted her like he wanted to breathe. He wanted to feel her body under his, and he wanted her shouting his name. But he wouldn't give in so easily. She made him look like a fool in the training center. She was all about herself and getting his ass into greed. Well, he wasn't going. Her hands explored his chest while her mouth planted little whispery kisses on his neck. She was murmuring something, but no, he was not going to give in. And then her hand found its way down his stomach, and she cupped him through his jeans. He wasn't going. What was it he wasn't going to do? Hell, he couldn't remember. Shelley had molded her hand around his dick and was now stroking it through his pants. Her soft kisses had turned forceful. She was now sucking and biting his skin. That same skin was alive and on fire. Even his wings were twitching with the need to touch her. Just one kiss, he thought. Just one. He finally released his hands from their fisted position at his sides and grabbed the back of her head. He growled as he fused their mouths together. Heaven. He had died and gone to heaven. Shelley allowed Jake to control the kiss. At least, that was what she was telling herself, and she was sticking to that. His tongue forced its way into her mouth and bossed her tongue around until she sucked it between her lips. His answering groan was reward enough. Shelley felt herself growing hot and her thighs started to tingle. He needed to touch her. She pulled his hand from the back of her head and placed it on her breast. He released her mouth and moved to her neck as he massaged her breast. Her nipple had grown tight and hard, and he pinched it through her shirt.
Yes, she sighed. More of that.
Jake backed up and pulled her shirt over her head. She wasn't wearing a bra, and she didn't need to. Her breasts were the perfect size and shape. He lowered his head and took one into his mouth. He relished her moan of pleasure as he sucked at her. Jake moved his other hand around her back to cup her butt. He squeezed for a moment and then moved around the top of her thighs. He paid attention to the other nipple as well, but his hand moved to cup her sex. She was hot in the palm of his hand. He lifted himself back to his full height, only to lower his head to kiss her again. Her hips rocked in his hands, rubbing herself against the heel of his hand. She pushed his head aside and sucked on the side of his neck. Shelley loved the way it felt when Jake touched her. She loved the feel of his mouth on her skin. She loved the way his breath came hard and fast. She sucked at his neck, wondering how he could deny that he belonged to her. He was a perfect fit for her body. As he increased the pressure on her sex, Shelley knew that no one was going to believe her when she claimed him if she didn't mark him. As he groaned aloud, Shelley smiled. Yes, she would mark him. Then when the time came, she could give everyone a big fat told-you-so. She cupped his cock again and squeezed. He pushed his hips into her hand, and that was when she made her move. She sucked harder at his neck, brushing her tongue against his skin and tasting the blood just beneath the surface. She sucked harder until he actually bled the tiniest bit. Yes, his taste. She let go of his neck and tossed her own head back. Mine, she growled as his hand moved faster against her. She felt the orgasm boiling to the surface and let it go. She clutched his shoulders while her body shook uncontrollably. Jake watched her as she orgasmed. Her eyes closed and her head fell back. He felt her nails digging into his skin, but he didn't care. Watching this demon in pleasure was erotic as hell, and even more so, knowing he had done this to her. As her body calmed and she released her hold on him, Jake kissed the side of her face and her neck. He peppered her with kisses until she was able to stand on her own again. Then he looked at her with a whole new perspective. She had called him hers. Maybe he was. Who knew? All he knew right then was that he needed to get inside her, now. Shelley brushed the wrinkles out of her clothes and pulled her shirt back over her head. Well, I'll see you later, she said as she headed for the door. Jake was dumbfounded. What? He barked. You're leaving? But I thought we... Ugh, she sighed. It was the best I ever had. There, is that better? You can't just... he started. Yes, she interrupted. I can. Thank you very much. I needed that. Have a nice night now. She walked out the door, leaving Jake with a hard-on of steel and more frustration than a psychiatrist could handle. Not only was his body in a tiff because he was horny as sin with no outlet, but he wanted Shelley to come back for other reasons he wasn't ready to admit. He liked her. Much, much more than he should. He liked the way she claimed him as her own. Fuck. He wanted her to own him, and that was one giant head fuck in and of itself. He was well and truly fucked, and not in a way that he wanted to be. Chapter 12. Jake had to get out of there. The more he thought about it, the more that woman pissed him off. How could she just get hers and walk away? She left him with a semi parked in his underwear, and now the bitch was nowhere to be found. He decided it was best if he flashed himself to Earth and watch his charge, Lucy. Jake found himself standing outside of her home once again, looking in like a stalker. At first, everything was quiet, and then someone screamed. Jake flashed inside the house, and what he saw made his stomach turn. Lucy was lying on the floor with blood gushing from her nose. Jake wanted to help her, but he stopped himself. Her husband came barreling into the room and yanked her up by her hair. "You stupid bitch," he ground out. "I told you that I don't like raw steak." He dragged her into the kitchen. The man snatched a piece of meat off a plate and shoved it into Lucy's face. "Does this look cooked to you?" he barked. "It's got blood on it. Blood!" He tossed the meat to the floor and forced Lucy to look at him. Her blonde hair was streaked red with her own blood, but she raised her eyes to meet his. Jake had thought this man had broken Lucy's spirit, but now he wasn't so sure. There was a fire in her eyes that sparked briefly before she masked it. "I'm sorry," she said calmly. "I'll make you another one." "No, you won't," he shouted at her. Lucy didn't even flinch when he hit her. "I'm going to take a shower, and when I get out, this mess better be cleaned up." Jake watched helplessly as Lucy started to clean the mess. She washed the dishes and put them away. Then she swept the floor. When she returned the broom to the closet, she stopped to look at something. It was about then that her husband came out of the hallway and made his presence known. "You can't hide in the fucking closet," he barked at her. "Get out here." He grabbed her by her hair again and slapped her across the face. Jake looked into the closet and saw there was a box safe in the back. It was open and empty. He wondered what would have been in there. It looked like the kind of box someone would keep a gun. And then it hit him. "Oh, Lucy, no," he whispered. He turned back to his charge, but it was too late. She had the gun level with her extended arm. "You aren't going to touch me," she said softly. "Not anymore."
"Lucy, please," her husband said sarcastically. "You don't even know how to unlock it."
Lucy pulled the hammer back, and the gun clicked into place. "Don't I?" she asked. "I'm leaving here, and you are not going to stop me." Her husband watched as she picked up her purse and her car keys, while never taking her eyes off him. She walked backward toward the door, but when she turned to unlock it, he struck. He grabbed her arm and she spun around. He tried to get the gun from her, but in the struggle, it went off. The room filled with an unnatural silence. The smell of blood got thick in the air, and Jake held his breath. Lucy's face was filled with horror, and after a long second, her husband fell to the floor. Lucy looked at his lifeless body for a moment, and then she opened the door. She ran for hell or high water to her car. She slammed the door and jammed her keys into the ignition. Jake watched as she peeled out of the driveway and sped off into the night. Jake knew the husband was dead. As well he should be, he thought. That man had been a monster, and he deserved his fate. He followed Lucy down the street and into town. He had to keep flashing himself to keep up with her. She didn't make it far. She took a corner too fast, and the car lost its traction against the asphalt. It careened into the opposite lane and into oncoming traffic. Lucy yanked the wheel to her left in an attempt to try to correct her slide, but it was useless. A pickup truck laid on its horn and locked its brakes up, fishtailing away from her. The car veered back into her lane and then kept going. It finally slammed into a telephone pole. Jake heard the crunch of metal and breaking glass and prayed that she was all right. He got close to the vehicle and saw her sitting in the driver's seat. She had thought to put on her seatbelt, thank God. She was breathing, and she would live. He let out his breath. She would be all right. That was, until her car caught fire. The engine ignited, and it didn't take long for the flames to engulf the car. Lucy was unconscious in the front seat. She had to get out. He needed to call for help. What was he supposed to do? A flash of memory smacked him right in the face. It was Ash telling him to never put his fire out again. Of course, that was it. Jake willed the flames into submission, and finally, all that was left of the inferno was a cloud of thick black smoke. He heard sirens in the air and knew that someone had already called 911. Help was on its way. Shelley had followed Jake. She had marked him for a reason, and this was precisely it. How dare he take an interest in another woman? Hadn't she made it clear that he belonged to her? Apparently not. And look what he did. She made it there just in time to see him snuff out the flames on that woman's car. He wasn't supposed to interfere. She made herself known by grabbing his arm and flashing them both back to hell. They materialized outside of Ash's office. "What the fuck?" Jake demanded. "You're in deep shit, that's what," she told him. "For what?" "Ash, open the damn door," Shelley called to their leader. The doors opened and she drugged Jake in with her. Jake saw Ash sitting behind his desk, Antonio at his side. They were studying something on the computer screen, but both heads were staring at him and Shelley right at that moment. He also noticed there was still a caged man in the corner of the room. "How long is he going to stay there?" Jake asked. "Until I figure out what to do with him," Ash answered. "What is going on here?" Shelley stepped up. "I'll tell you what's going on," she yelled. "This fucktard just saved that woman's life. He isn't supposed to interfere." "She was going to die," Jake defended himself. "He put out the flames on her car," Shelley explained. "I saw it." Jake's head whipped around to look at her. "What are you, my stalker?" Shelley humped. "More like a babysitter." "I didn't ask for your help," Jake countered. "And I don't need a nanny." "Well, apparently you need to be watched." "Shut up," Jake snapped. "Fuck off," Shelley replied. "You are such a bitch," Jake said. "You're a fucking pansy, Mike Tyson." She crossed her arms at her chest and raised one eyebrow as if she were daring him to come back with more. Jake couldn't resist. "Martha fucking Stewart," he smiled. Oh, he did not just call her Martha Stewart. "Go to hell," she barked. She was even prettier when she was mad, Jake noticed. "You know, every time I am around you, my middle finger gets a hard-on." He showed her the finger in question, and yep, it was standing at attention. Fire flashed in her eyes. "Better get used to it," she snarled, "because the only way you're getting laid around here is to crawl up a chicken's ass and wait." Ash held back his bark of laughter. He and Antonio were watching the exchange. their heads moving from Jake to Shelley and back. It was like watching a tennis match with words.
"Hey, Carrot Top called. He wants his hair back," Jake retorted.
He smiled as he watched the anger flush her face.
"Does your ass get jealous of all the shit that comes out of your mouth?" she asked.
Just mentioning his mouth reminded her of what that mouth felt like on her skin, which made her blood roar in her veins, which pissed her off even more.
"Were your parents siblings?" he asked her. "You are such a huge douchebag, you could cleanse a whale's vagina," she shouted back.
"Yeah?" he asked with a half smile. He was handsome when he smiled.
"Your vagina is so big, I would need MapQuest to find the G-spot.
Save your breath, asshole. You're going to need it to inflate your date later."
"Do you think we should stop this?" Antonio whispered to Ash.
Ash shook his head.
"I know that they are what they are, but damn."
"You sure about this?" Ash asked him quietly. "They don't seem to like each other very much."
Antonio snorted.
"You're a fat-lipped firebug, soul-sucking siren. Get off your man period, dick rash, knuckle-dragging Neanderthal, glue-sniffing gutter slut," Jake shouted.
The pair were nose-to-nose now. Ash and Antonio were quietly betting on who would hit who first.
"Isn't there a hydrant you need to piss on? Selfish, narcissistic tease. You're such an asshole. Kissing any part of you would be fairly termed rimming."
Someone actually laughed at that one, but Jake didn't bother to look at who. Shelley was so close he could smell her.
"Two-tongued tattletale," he said to her, a little softer.
"If you were any more of a dick, prostitutes would be trying to shove condoms over your head," she said through clenched teeth. "I tell you to fuck yourself and the horse you rode in on, but from the look on your face, I'd say you already did that," he said. She smelled so good.
"If brains were dynamite, you wouldn't have enough to blow your nose. Your birth certificate was an apology letter to your parents.
Get your head out of your ass," she barked at him. "It's not a hat, although an ass is probably the only thing you could get to sit on your head. Either one, north or south."
Jake couldn't take it anymore. She was driving him insane, and not just with her smart-ass mouth, but her scent. She was just as turned on as he was, and as hard as it was for him to admit, he wanted her. First, he had to shut her up, so he did the only thing he could think of. He kissed her.
Ash and Antonio watched as Jake picked Shelley up and slammed her into the wall. He covered her body with his own as his mouth plundered hers.
"We should really do something," Antonio said.
"What?" Ash asked as Jake started grinding his hips into the demon.
"I don't know," Antonio barked out on a laugh. "But if you don't, they're going to be having sex right here on your office floor."
That was enough to spur Ash into action. He stood from his chair and ran around the desk.
"Hey, hey, go to your corners or get a room or something. Just get out of here."
Shelley didn't answer him, but shoved her hands through Jake's hair and kissed him harder. Jake made eye contact and lifted Shelley's legs to wrap them around his waist. Then he walked, while still kissing her, toward the door. Ash gave the mental command for the doors to open, and Jake walked through them, taking his demon with him.
"I think I will deal with this interference later," Ash said, watching the empty doorway after they left.
"I think that's wise," Antonio agreed.
"Was I that bad?" Ash asked.
"I mean, when I was getting my shit together with Elizabeth."
Antonio looked at his friend with a crooked smile.
"You were so much worse," he laughed.
Chapter 13. Jake had barely made it into the hallway with his cargo when Shelley made a frustrated noise in the back of her throat. Her arms were tight around his neck, and her legs were wrapped securely around his hips. Jake fumbled them both down the hallway in the direction of his room. Shelley growled against his neck, and the next thing he felt was his body dematerializing. Then the soft carpet of his sleeping quarters was under his feet.
"Not moving fast enough for you, demon girl?" he chuckled.
"Shut up, asshat," she growled, and bit into the cord of his neck. The pain was sharp, and it sent shivers all over his body.
"Right. Best if we don't talk," he agreed.
He walked over to the bed and lowered her back to the sheets, keeping her legs wrapped around him. He had no choice but to fall on top of her. He hungrily kissed her neck and collar, before pushing up on his hands above her.
"I need something," he muttered.
He caught sight of a black scarf made of silk on his bedside table. That hadn't been there before. He wondered for a mere second where it had come from, but decided he didn't care. He snatched the scarf off the table and pushed Shelley's hands above her head.
"What are you doing?" she glared at him as he tied the scarf around her wrists.
"Making sure you don't go anywhere this time," he grunted back at her.
He was pinning her weight with his hips, and he pushed them into her for good measure. Her sharp intake of breath was not lost on him. She wanted him just as much as he wanted her, and he was going to make sure she admitted it.
"I could get loose if I wanted to," she said breathlessly.
Jake pretended not to hear her and put both hands on the front of her shirt. She raised a brow at him in defiance just before he ripped the material apart. Her perfect breasts were on display for him, and they rose and fell with each breath that she took. Jake watched in fascination as the tips hardened and stood for his attention, as if they were begging him to taste them. He was more than happy to oblige. He dipped his head low and sucked one diamond-hard pebble into his mouth. He took his time, licking and nibbling, first one nipple and then the other. He made his way down her belly and smiled when she giggled. It wasn't a sound he ever expected to hear from her, but he decided she liked it. He ghosted his tongue over her abdomen, enjoying the way the skin fluttered beneath his touch. She was squirming against her bonds by the time he had made his way down to her pants. He popped the button and pushed them down her legs, leaving her bare to him. She was beautiful. He looked back up to her eyes, almost as if he were asking permission. The fire he saw in her face was all the permission he needed. He settled his wide shoulders between her thighs and went in for a taste. As soon as his tongue touched her, he knew he was lost, forever ruined for other women. No one else would ever do. Her flavor was like a dance in his mouth, caressing each and every one of his taste buds and sliding down his throat like a fine wine. Shelley was thrashing on her back as he licked her sensitive flesh over and over again. He could tell she was nearing the edge, and he backed off. He rose up from her and was rewarded with a snarl from her.
"You're not finished," she growled at him.
"Get back down there." He tisked at her with his tongue. "You don't get yours this time until I am buried deep inside you," he told her.
"Then get on with it," she shouted at him.
She yanked hard on the scarf that bound her wrists, and the material rent under her strength.
"Never mind," she said. "I'll do it myself."
She flipped him over like he weighed nothing at all and yanked his pants off his body. She didn't bother with his shirt. She straddled his waist and reached between them, guiding his cock where she wanted it to be. Jake didn't even really have time to process what she was doing before she dropped her hips and impaled herself on him.
"Ah, fuck,"
he ground out, grabbing her hips and holding her still. She felt so good around him that if she moved even a little bit, she was going to lose it. But she wasn't very obedient and forced her hips to move. Jake couldn't take it anymore. He pulled her body down and held her chest to his and drove into her. He moved within her while securing her to himself. Shelley was teetering on the brink of losing control. Her body was full of the angel under her, but that wasn't what was causing the issue. His arms were locked around her like a vice, and he was whispering things in her ear. Things about what he wanted to do to her. Things about how he liked her and the way she made him feel. That was all fine and good, but it was how he was making her feel that bothered her. His arms felt warm and safe and loving. She felt secure in the circle of his arms. He kissed the side of her neck as he drove into her, holding her tight. When he roared his release, Shelley allowed herself to go as well. She didn't know when she had started holding back, but she did. She wanted him to find release with her, and when he had, she let her body go and closed her eyes with pleasure. When their breathing returned to normal, Jake rolled them to the side and tucked Shelley into the cradle of his arms. She closed her eyes and pretended to sleep, but she couldn't even if she wanted to. Jake made her feel things. He made her feel, period, and that bothered her.
Chapter 14. "Are we ready?"
Jason asked Laura.
"Almost," she replied. "Just got to get finished drawing the spell."
Jason admired the witch's handiwork. She had drawn an inverted pentagram on the floor with a circle around it. She had already chanted the spell that would activate it.
"I don't want to trap the demon. That's likely to piss it off, and he won't help us."
Laura stood and brushed off her pants.
"I don't either. Let's call this a safety measure, just in case your demon isn't friendly. All I have to do is draw the last line of the circle to complete the containment spell."
"I don't think we will need it," Jason muttered. "I told you Greed will agree to this. He has to."
Laura shook her head. "You don't know that, and I am not taking any chances." Jason let out an exasperated sigh.
"Fine, let's get on with this shit."
Laura opened the grimoire and began to read. The words were in Latin, and Jason didn't understand a word of it, but Laura was a talented dark witch.
"Shelley Capici, we call to you," she chanted.
Keeper of Greed, come to us.
Jason's eyes widened as the air inside the spell began to swirl. It thickened and started to take on a color. It was reddish-brown like the color of dried blood. Laura continued to chant the spell as the wind picked up in the house. Shelley was sitting at her desk, steaming over that idiot. She had taken off to be by herself for a while after that whole debacle. He was all about breaking the rules, and Ash didn't punish him well enough as far as she was concerned. That human-turned-angel was a great big thorn in her side. After he had fallen asleep, she snuck out of his room like a thief in the night. But she wasn't the one stealing anything. In fact, she felt like Jake the Flame had stolen something from her, something she had guarded for thousands of years. She didn't have time to dwell on it, though. She felt a familiar sensation in her chest. She was being summoned. No one had summoned her for a long time, and the last time, it had been Lucifer. Had Ash figured out how to do it? She figured probably so. She closed her eyes and allowed herself to be pulled by the spell. When she opened her eyes, she was standing in a house on Earth in front of three humans. Humans. She had never been successfully summoned by a human before. She plastered a fake smile on her lips and said, "You rang?" There were two male humans and one female. The men were standing there catching flies in their open mouths, apparently too much in awe for beauty to speak. The female spoke. "Are you Shelley Capici, Keeper of Greed?" "I am," Shelley said with a smile. "Oh, goody, new recruits. What is it that you desire?" "We want to make you an offer," the man with the dark hair said. "We want to make a deal." "You do realize that I am a demon," Shelley said. "Yes, we do." He pushed his hands through his hair and shifted his weight from one foot to the other. He was nervous, and that gave Shelley great pleasure. "What do you propose?" she asked him. "I haven't got all day for this. Riches, power, I can give you those things." The man shook his head. "Blood." Shelley raised a brow at him. "Blood," she repeated. "Whatever for? And just who are you?" "I am Jason, and this is Caleb," the man said. "This is Laura. She is a witch who summoned you." "And the blood?" Shelley asked. "We need to summon Balthazar. And for that, we need the blood of a demon," Jason explained to her. "We want to control the gateway between heaven and hell. For helping us, we want you to be our second in command." The little shit beamed as if he were oh so proud of himself. Shelley shook her head. "Sorry, boys, but I don't think that would go over well with the new leader." "Yeah, I don't like him much," Jason explained. "You see, we worked for years to bring new souls to Lucifer, and now this new guy, he just tossed us away like trash." "Because you are," Shelley said. "I think I will decline your offer," she told them, preparing to leave. That was when she looked down and saw the witch on the floor with a piece of chalk in her hand. "Oh, I am terribly sorry that I will have to miss color time. Please stay clear of pink. It does horrible things to my complexion." She didn't know what the witch was up to, but she was certain that they didn't have the power to hold her. "Bye now," Shelley cheered just as the witch lifted her chalk from the floor. She had drawn a circle around the pentagram, completing the design. "Nice spell," Shelley cooed before flashing herself home. Except she didn't go home. She didn't go anywhere. "What the hell?" she barked. "Confinement spell," the witch answered. "You aren't leaving." "The hell I'm not," Shelley shouted. She tried again to flash, but couldn't. Then she tried to destroy the chalk drawing that was holding her captive. The fragile design was stable as if it were drawn in permanent ink. No matter how hard Shelley tried to smudge it with her foot, it wasn't going anywhere. "You are going to help us whether you want to or not," the witch said. Shelley rolled her eyes. This was going to be a long night. Chapter 15. Why in the hell did that woman keep disappearing? Jake stomped his way down the hallway to Greed. He had a bone to pick with Shelley. Twice they had been together, sort of, and twice she had disappeared after the fact. What he wasn't admitting, even to himself, was that he had a bad feeling, a ball of dread deep in the pit of his stomach, and he didn't know why. He was worried about the gorgeous demon who pissed him off like no other. He had woke up with a damned feeling and just couldn't shake it. He had rolled over to find his bed empty, and the pillows that she had slept on cold. Whatever was going on, they needed to talk. He walked right up to the doors of Greed and pounded on them with his fist. When no one answered, he knocked again. "Shelley, open the fucking doors!" he shouted at the closed metal doors. "What's going on?" Ash asked him, appearing out of thin air. Jake's heart jumped up into his throat and then back down again. "Shit, man, scare the hell out of someone!"
He shook his head. I need to speak to Shelley. Are you sure she wants to see you? Ash asked him. I mean, if she isn't opening the door, she probably doesn't want to be disturbed.
It doesn't matter, Jake said with a huff. She is gonna see me.
Ash raised an eyebrow at him. Jake knew that Ash was the only one other than Shelley who could open those doors, and he wasn't going to do it because Jake was having a He-Man moment.
Look, I'm worried, Jake admitted. I can't explain it.
Ash nodded and placed his hand on the electric panel. The doors opened easily as if they didn't weigh 1,000 pounds each. Jake pushed his way into the realm and went immediately for her desk. She wasn't there. He looked over the souls that were milling about, but there was no sign of her there either. He walked around with Ash hot on his heels, but no Shelley.
Shelley! He shouted into the realm.
A few of the souls looked up, but went immediately back to their tasks. He walked with purpose around the piles of gold and riches, determined to find her. He kicked a large rock out of the way in frustration when he found nothing.
I don't believe she is here, Ash commented. He didn't miss the concern on his guard's face.
We can check a few other places. Jake followed Ash out of greed and back to his office. Ash opened another door that Jake had not seen him use before.
Well, come on, Ash told him, and Jake followed him into the small room. The only thing in the room was a large mirror.
Ash walked up to it and touched it.
Shelley, he said softly.
Jake watched with amazement as the mirror fogged over and the image began to change. He saw flashes of people and places whipping across the glass, like a slideshow on crack. After a few minutes, the mirror stopped.
Well, that's weird, Ash said more to himself than Jake.
Shelley Capecchi, he said to the mirror.
Still, there was nothing.
What's going on? Jake finally asked.
This mirror is supposed to allow me to see anyone I wish, he answered.
I wish to see Shelley, but it can't find her.
Can't she hide herself from it? Jake asked.
Ash shook his head.
No, I don't believe so.
What does this mean? He asked.
His stomach was getting heavier with that dread ball that was in it.
It means that we have to find her. Now, Ash said. Then he called for Antonio.
Hey, man, the angel said as he appeared in front of them.
Shelley's gone, Ash said. We need to set up a search and find her, immediately.
Things gone bad in paradise? Antonio asked with a sly smile.
I don't think that's it, Ash told him. Jake's got a bad feeling, and I'm feeling it too.
Right on, Antonio said. I'll get it going.
The angel disappeared as quickly as he had come.
Don't worry, Ash told Jake. We'll find her.
Damn straight we're gonna find her, Jake agreed.
They embarked on a search of hell for the missing demon. Antonio took Malachi and Amaris, the leader of the playground, and went on to search the first four levels of hell. Ash, Jake, and Rogue, the leader of Sloth, took the top half.
I just don't understand, Jake muttered under his breath.
Does she have a habit of disappearing?
Ash shook his head.
No, she doesn't. At least not as far as I know.
I can vouch for that, Rogue piped in. He ran his huge hand over the horns on his head. Shelley usually sticks pretty close, even if she left the realm. Ash should have been able to find her. You're supposed to be able to find anyone, anywhere. That's part of his gift.
Jake grunted a muffled response. This whole walking through each and every corner of hell was taking too long. His wings itched to fly, but some of the caverns were too small for him to stand up in, let alone fly. He kept his eye on Ash in case he got word from Antonio. They searched for hours, leaving no sanction unturned. Jake's frustration was growing by the minute. It wasn't as if he liked her or anything. He was just upset that she would take off and leave nothing to indicate where she had gone or when she would be back. She had gotten all over his ass about being irresponsible for helping that woman survive the car accident, and here she was leaving her realm unprotected. If anything, she was the irresponsible one. Or at least, that was what he told himself. He wasn't really angry with her, though. Deep down, he knew it. He was worried. Somewhere along the line, he started giving a shit about the pretty red-headed demon. That was a whole new kind of what-the-fuck in his book, but he wasn't prepared to think it out at that moment. He watched Ash's back as they rounded the wall of fire and went back to his office where they were to meet Antonio. The ride on the elevator was a silent one. Jake glanced over at Ash when they stopped at Sloth to let Rogue out. He needed to do his job, too. Jake didn't miss the slight frown Ash wore, or the way his brows crinkled over the bridge of his nose. If Ash was worried, that just made Jake worry more. He hadn't been at this angel thing for very long, but his instincts were practically screaming at him that something was very wrong, and Jake had learned over his human life to trust his instincts.
Chapter 16. As they arrived back in Ash's office, Jake was shaking all over. "You have to calm down," Ash told him as the leader of Hell took a seat behind his desk. "Go make yourself a drink," he said. Antonio and Mally hadn't made it back yet, so Ash decided to check his computer. Jake didn't know exactly what Ash was looking for on that thing, but he didn't ask either. He walked over to the small cabinet that held several different brands of alcohol. He let his fingers travel over the tops of the bottles until he came to the 12-year-old scotch. He cracked the seal on the bottle and poured himself a double shot. He didn't delay bringing the glass to his lips and downing the amber liquid in one gulp. It burned the back of his throat all the way down to his stomach and settled like a heavy weight. Then he turned to his boss. "What are we going to do?" Ash kept his eyes on his screen as he typed. "If Antonio didn't find anything, and I doubt he did, we are going to have to search Earth." Jake shoved his angst down and took a deep breath.
"Pretty big place to search," he muttered.
"I know," Ash replied. "I just sent a witch I know an email to let her know we are coming. She helped me before I was an angel." Jake poured himself another drink and went to sit across from Ash. "What did she do?
Hell, what did you do before all of this?"
He waved his hand around to gesture their current situation. Ash looked up and into his eyes. "I was a young boy when I made a deal with a demon named Shax," he told Jake. "I killed demons for him and he let my sister live."
"I am assuming you don't work for him anymore," Jake said, leaning forward.
His leader was talking more than he had heard since Jake arrived.
"No," Ash answered. "He wanted me to kill Elizabeth. I couldn't do it. So I killed him. One thing led to another, and here I am. The witch, Laura, had made an amulet for me that eased my travel from Earth to Hell. I think she might be of some use now."
Jake nodded. He could understand that. He couldn't kill someone he loved. But what a mindfuck to have to grow up under a deal with a demon. Jake didn't know what he would do in that situation. Hell, he himself had been offered a deal by being in Hell, and he took it. He couldn't and wouldn't judge Ash for that. If anything, he had a new respect for his boss man. He also found himself hoping that this Laura witch could help them. That feeling of dread was getting stronger, and his neck ached like someone had poked him with an ice pick. Antonio bounced through the door right about that time.
"I got nothing," he said, running his fingers over his head and through his hair. That man had hair that was black as night and touched his shoulders. Combine that with the subtle Spanish accent, and Jake was betting that he had the women lined up at his door. Women like Shelley. The thought that Shelley might find this angel attractive made Jake's stomach twist in an even tighter knot. He squashed down the urge to pummel the angel right then and there. He had to remind himself that Antonio was a good man, angel or not. Ash nodded. "I thought it would be that way," he told his angel friend. "I sent a message to Laura. We're going to need her help."
"That's a good idea," Antonio agreed. "Shall we go?"
Ash nodded. "Let's do it." All three men stood shoulder to shoulder and let Ash's power take them to Earth.
Jake felt the soft grass under his feet, and he immediately took off. He didn't know which direction to start, but he had spent the entire time he had been in Hell following someone else's lead. He was ready to get out on his own. He was ready to do something. Anything. He needed to find Shelley. He didn't understand why, but he needed to know that she was safe. It was a soul-deep yearning that refused to be ignored.
"Hold up there, Firestarter," Antonio laughed and grabbed Jake's arm. "Where are you off to?"
Jake spun around to face the angel.
"I'm going to find Shelley," he growled.
"Whoa," Antonio said, holding up both hands.
"Why does everyone want to growl at me?"
"You do have that effect on people," Ash reminded him. "I thought about killing you more than once." Antonio grinned.
"You love me."
Ash shrugged his shoulders, but did not answer that. He didn't confirm or deny it.
"I knew it," Antonio beamed. "You're like my brother from another mother."
"Shut it, will ya?" Ash said, playfully punching Antonio in the arm. "I don't even like you." Antonio wagged his eyebrows.
"Yes, you do."
What the hell, Jake thought. These two were joking it up like Shelley wasn't in danger. Didn't they have priorities?
"Can we please get back to the task at hand?" Jake yelled at them. "Shelley is out there somewhere, and we need to find her."
"Easy there," Antonio said carefully. Jake's eyes had started glowing, and he didn't want the man to start any fires on Earth.
"You gotta stay calm. We're going to the witch's house right now. She can help us."
"Fine," Jake muttered. "Which way?" Ash and Antonio both spread their wings and shot into the air. Jake watched momentarily in awe of the angels. They looked like giant birds in the sky.
Ash's black wings and Antonio's white wings, as different as the men were themselves, and yet, they made a great team. It reminded Jake of his buddies at the fire station. They all ribbed each other incessantly, but when it came down to it, they were brothers. Jake had a feeling that these two were no different. He watched as they circled above him. It was an amazing sight.
"Hey, Firebug," Antonio called out from high in the sky. "You coming or what?"
"Right," Jake said out loud. He'd damn near forgotten that he had wings, too. They were such a perfect design that they fit as if he had always had them. As he spread those wings, he hoped that he remembered how to fly. He pushed the air down with his powerful wings, and his body lifted into the air. He caught up to Ash and Antonio, and they shot off to the east. He was pretty sure he heard Ash mumbling about Jake's ability to take to the air and how it shouldn't be that easy. They circled a mountain and then landed on a rooftop in a small town. The building was two stories and had apartments on each floor. "Laura's in 106, Ash told them. They made their way down to the lower level and Ash looked at Jake. "Time to get visible," he told him. "Laura knows what I am, but she doesn't know about you two. Hide those wings." Jake concentrated. He had only tried to make himself visible one other time, and there was so much alcohol involved that he wasn't sure he could do it again. "See me?" he said in his mind. Then he thought, "But not the wings." He guessed he got it right because Ash nodded his approval just before the door to the small apartment opened.
"Hi, Ash," the little woman said with a smile. "Nice to see you again. How are things in the underworld?"
She pushed the door open wide and stepped back so that the men could enter. Jake made note of the woman's dark hair and blue eyes. She was young-looking, but her eyes said anything but. Her eyes looked like someone who had centuries of knowledge behind them.
"Did you get my message?" Ash asked her.
"I did," Laura said with a nod. "I can scry for her, but I can't promise you anything." She looked at Antonio and Jake. Her eyes raked over Jake, and he didn't miss the appreciation in them. She was pretty, of course, but she didn't do anything for him.
"Who are your friends?" she asked.
Ash gestured toward Antonio. "This is Antonio and Jake. They're friends of mine." Jake kept his mouth shut but nodded in acknowledgement. He noticed that Ash didn't tell the woman that they were angels or even in his employ. Laura continued to stare at him with a pointed look. He couldn't decide what it was about her, but immediately he didn't trust her. She kept eye contact with him, daring him to say what was on his mind. He didn't dare.
"Well, I guess I should get down to business," she said before breaking eye contact and flitting off to another room.
"You sure this is a good idea?" Jake whispered to Ash. Ash nodded. "Laura is good. She's a powerful witch, and if anyone on this plane can find Shelley, it's her."
"I hope you're right," Jake said.
Laura came back into the room with a map and a crystal that was suspended on a long silver chain.
"Just give me a sec and I'll see if I can get a read on her. Did you bring something of hers with you?"
Ash shook his head. "I didn't know I was supposed to," he admitted. He didn't know a lot about witchcraft at all.
Laura smiled. "It's no big deal," she said.
"Sometimes it is easier to find someone if you have something that belongs to them, but I can still look for her. It just might take a minute or two longer." Ash gestured with his hand for her to get on with it, so Laura did. She spread the map out over her kitchen table and chanted a soft spell. She held the crystal above the map and it began to swing. She chanted again and the crystal started to spin. After a moment, she dropped the crystal onto the map.
"Looks like she's in Afghanistan," Laura muttered. Her brow was wrinkled, and she genuinely looked confused.
"What in the world would she be doing there?"
"I have no idea," Ash said. "But we're about to find out. Can you tell us where in the desert she is?"
Laura shook her head. "I'm sorry, no. Maybe if I had something of hers, I could be more specific. But unfortunately, this is the best I got."
"It's better than what we started with," Jake said, already heading toward the door.
He didn't know if the witch was right or wrong, but the whole thing seemed staged to him. One thing he did know was that Shelley wasn't there in that apartment, so staying there was a waste of time. Chapter 17. The trio made themselves invisible again and took to the air. Once they were high enough, Ash grabbed both of his angels by the back of the neck and flashed them all to the other side of the earth. Jake looked down from his perch in the sky. He had flashed before, but never in midair. He was fairly certain he would never get used to it. He scanned the desert that stretched out below him. Why would Shelley come here? And where would she be?
"Come on, let's get on the ground," Ash commanded, and Jake and Antonio followed him. They dove from the sky to street level. It was early morning, and the street merchants were opening their shops for the day.
The three men landed on a dirt road and walked among the humans that were milling about getting ready to start their day.
They stayed invisible, of course. There was no reason to alert anyone to their presence, so they made their way on silent feet. Jake's wings were twitching at his back. He didn't know how to explain it, but he already knew Shelley wasn't there. He knew it in his soul. He had felt closer to her back in the States when they were at Laura's apartment. He didn't know how he felt her, just that he did. It was almost like someone dropped the GPS under his skin, and the destination was set on Shelley's whereabouts. After deciding that Shelley was nowhere in this little town, they decided to take to the air and fly to the next town.
"Is this what we're gonna do?" Jake asked loud enough to be heard over the wind. "We just gonna fly from one town to the next until we get exhausted? She's not here. Your witch is full of shit."
Ash immediately stopped in the air and turned to face him. He hovered in the sky at eye level with Jake.
"What makes you think that?" he said.
Jake had no choice but to stop as well or run over his leader.
"I just know, that's all."
Ash looked at Jake with a speculative eye. "Is there something we should know?" he finally asked. Jake shook his head.
"I don't know how I know. I just do, okay?"
He could hardly explain it to himself, much less anyone else, no matter how hard he wanted to.
"Well, Laura has never steered me wrong before, so I'm going to at least check it out."
He turned in the sky and flew off ahead of them. "He really isn't someone you want to piss off," Antonio reminded Jake, before flying faster to keep up with Ash.
"No shit," Jake muttered. "I remember what he's like pissed."
The memory of Ash holding him to the wall with black flames dancing over his skin was something Jake wouldn't soon forget. Jake watched the ground below him. The sand rolled like a sea of tan water. Every now and then they would see an animal or someone riding a camel. He didn't know people still did that. After a while, they flew over a military base. It wasn't anything special by any means, but the dog they kept with them was pretty impressive. Upon a closer look, Jake noticed that the dark brown animal was not a dog after all, but a wolf, a very large wolf. The men at the base didn't appear to have any fear of it. They walked around it as if it were one of their own. Jake had heard of the military training dogs to help them, but he had never heard of a wolf. It didn't matter in the grand scheme of things, and Jake thought it was odd that he even noticed it at all. He was noticing everything. He noticed the way the dry desert air rubbed against his face, the way sun felt on his skin, the way his wings felt heavier than normal. There was a substantial amount of sand in the air the closer they flew to the ground, and it was collecting in his feathers. Higher up, it wasn't so bad. He knew he should be watching for any sign of Shelley, but he also knew that this search was a complete and total waste of time. There would be no convincing his leader of that. How could Jake explain how he knew if he didn't know himself? After searching three towns and making a wide arc around the perimeter, Ash was finally ready to admit that Laura had been very wrong. He landed on a sand dune and waited for Antonio and Jake to land next to him. Antonio landed with the grace of someone who had always been an angel. Jake, on the other hand, did not. He landed hard and his feet sunk down into the shifting sand. He tried to pull his foot out, only to have the other sink further. In fact, the more he moved, the worse it got. "What the fuck?" he cursed, shifting his weight from one leg to the other. He had sunk to the point where he had to lift his wings to keep them out of the sand. He was sinking fast.
"Having a bit of trouble?" Antonio snickered.
Jake glared at him. "A little help here." He was up to his butt in sand. Literally.
"Nah, this is so much more fun to watch," Antonio grinned. "You know, the more you move in quicksand, the faster you sink."
"I didn't think that quicksand was a real thing," Jake growled, wondering how he was going to get out of this predicament. He looked at both Ash and Antonio only to realize that they were wearing matching amused expressions. He wasn't going to get any help from them. He looked to his right and saw nothing. Sand and more sand surrounded him on all sides.
"I have no idea how to get out of this," Jake said to Ash. "What am I supposed to do?"
"It is important that you learn to save yourself," Ash replied with a devious smile. "You have all the tools you need to get out. You just have to find them." Jake was pretty sure he did not have the tools he needed. The sand was up to his chest, and his wings were folding upward against his will. He could feel the sand shifting and creeping into his clothing, up to his neck. Jake tried to force his wings out of the sand, but it was too late. Even if he could get them out, he wouldn't be able to use them, up to his mouth. Jake pressed his lips together to keep the sand out of his mouth. He felt it tickling his nose and held his breath. He sent a pleading look to Ash and Antonio just before the sand covered his eyes. They were smiling at him, and that was the last thing Jake saw before he was enclosed in darkness.
He could feel the sand pressing against his body. It weighed heavily on him, threatening to crush him. Jake's instincts told him to move, but it was no use. Now he couldn't even wiggle his fingers. He felt the sand close over the top of his head, and Jake knew he was in deep shit. His lungs began to burn with the need for oxygen. He thought he heard muffled voices, but he couldn't tell who said what. He hoped that his fellow warriors were deciding who was going to save his ass. After a minute or so, Jake knew that wasn't going to happen. His lungs burned. His eyes burned from being closed so tightly. His wings burned. Burn. Fire. He had all the tools he needed. He had fire. Jake didn't know if it would work, but it was all he had left. If he didn't do something, he was going to suffocate. He didn't know if angels could suffocate, but he wasn't in the mood to find out. Jake called fire to him. The granules of sand heated up and began to melt. As he called the fire, he willed it hotter. Hotter. So hot, he feared he might melt too, but he kept it up. He could move his hand, then a foot. Soon he was swimming in melted sand, as if it were thick water. It was like swimming in jello. But he managed to push for the surface, and when his hand broke through, Jake kicked his feet, forcing his head up. When his head was out, he gasped in huge gulps of air. It was blistering hot, but it was air that his lungs desperately needed. He wiggled his wings out and opened them. He pushed the air down and lifted his body from the pit. He beat his wings furiously, forcing the sand out of them. Finally, when he was sure he wasn't going to fall back in, Jake looked down. There was a flaming pit beneath him. He willed the fire out and allowed himself to land next to Ash. He looked at his leader with a sideways glare. "Thanks a lot," he growled at him. Ash laughed. "You did just fine." Jake grumbled something incoherent and watched as Antonio inspected the pit. He lifted something off the ground for everyone to see. "Hey, look at this," he said with a toothy grin. "People pay good money for this shit." He was holding a chunk of sand that had solidified into a wavy shape. It looked like glass, and if it was looked at from the right direction, might have even looked like a horse. "It's like when lightning strikes the sand. It makes for really valuable art. Want to keep it?" Jake shook his head. "No, I just want to find Shelly," he grumbled. "Now that you two have had your fun." Jake turned to walk away, so he didn't see the satisfied looks that Ash and Antonio exchanged before they rushed to catch up to him. Chapter 18. "I just don't understand," Laura said into her phone. "I have never been so wrong before."
"I don't know either," Ash's voice said from the other end of the line. "We're coming back to the States. We feel like she's there."
"Okay, well let me know if you need any help,"
Laura said before saying goodbye to the leader of Hell. Then she turned to her companions. "You need to work faster," she told them. Caleb raised a brow and questioned to her.
"I didn't know you were on a first-name basis with the new devil in charge."
"It isn't something I brag about," Laura told him. "I sent them overseas to find this demon." She pointed over her shoulder to Shelly, who was still locked in the spell. "But they're smarter than we thought." Laura had put a binding spell on Shelly's ear so that she couldn't hear anything they said. It was not only for the safety of the humans, but for Laura's as well. She couldn't very well have the leader of Hell knowing she was working against him. She always had been. Even when he had been a human, Laura was working on the side of evil. She had been more than an associate of Shaxx. He had been her lover. They were going to rule Hell side by side, and they were using Ash to get some housekeeping done. Who knew that he would fall in love with that woman, Elizabeth, and wreck all of their plans? Laura didn't think the man had it in him at the time. She had been wrong, and she was out for revenge. Not just for the death of her lover, but for her grand design being ruined. She would never reign in Hell as long as Ash was in charge. She would not underestimate him again.
"Why don't you just persuade this new guy to our way of thinking?" Jason asked her.
Laura rolled her eyes. "Do you really think it's that easy? Do you think I would survive that conversation? Especially now that we have kidnapped one of his demons?" Jason shrugged his shoulders.
"So what do we do now?"
"Now I cast a cloaking spell that will keep all of us hidden from the angel's radar," Laura said. She gathered her supplies and began chanting. When she was done, she slipped an amulet around both men's necks. "This will keep you hidden," she said, "but only if you wear it." She paused for a moment, and then she decided it was best for her to add, "So don't take it off."
"What about the demon?" Jason asked her. "We still need to get in there and get that blood."
Laura sighed heavily. She just had to align herself with men who carried about as much sense as the grass that grew outside on the lawn.
"So get in there and get it," she snapped.
The spell keeps her in, not you out. Caleb was already moving before Jason could tell him to do so. The pair had worked together long enough that he knew he was the lackey. He picked up a syringe and a vial and stepped into the spell with their captive demon. Shelley had been watching the exchange between the humans. She couldn't hear what they were saying, but she caught words here and there from reading their lips and their body language. She could tell that the witch didn't like the men much, and Shelley had to wonder why she worked with them in the first place. She knew as soon as the one picked up a needle what he was going to do. She stood perfectly still and allowed him into her little circle. He smiled up at her and took her wrist in his hand. When he turned her hand over and poised the needle over the bend of her elbow, Shelley struck. She used her other hand to grab the syringe from him and twisted her hand so that she had control of his arm. She yanked that arm up behind his back and plunged the needle deep into his shoulder. Caleb wailed in pain. Shelley shoved him out of her circle and made eye contact with the witch, daring her to send that other human in to try it again. Caleb landed hard on his knees and bent over in pain. Laura stomped over to him and yanked the needle out of his muscles. "Idiot," she muttered. "Did you think she would just let you take it?"
"I don't know what I thought," Caleb snarled at her. "You said get it, so I went in. What the fuck was I supposed to do?"
Laura dropped the syringe on the table and opened her bag. She took out a bag of herbs and a candle. She spread her supplies over the table and then lit the candle. She started chanting in ancient Latin, and soon a nearly invisible fog surrounded Shelley within her confinement in the spell. Shelley had known the witch was working some kind of spell, but she still hadn't considered the possibility that it could directly affect her. She was wrong. The fine mist of the fog reached for her and swirled around her legs. Shelley instinctively went to step back away from it, but her feet seemed to have grown roots to the floor. She bent at the knee and tried to jump away from it, but once her knees straightened out, they refused to move again. Shelley could feel the fog working its way up her body, but she could do nothing to stop it. She batted at it with her hands, but still it continued. She looked at the humans who held her captive and pressed her lips tightly together. They were laughing at her. She couldn't hear it, but she could see it. She wouldn't give them the satisfaction of calling out for help. She was stronger than that. The fog was mercilessly working up her torso, slowly but surely turning her body to stone. No, not stone, but close enough. Everywhere the fog touched became useless to Shelley. It worked its way up her chest and neck, then finally over her head. Shelley was stuck, completely paralyzed by the spell. She couldn't speak. It was a good thing that she didn't really need oxygen, because she couldn't breathe either. The only motion she could manage was to move her eyes slightly in either direction. Shelley watched helplessly as Caleb walked back into her spell, holding that damn syringe. This time, there was nothing she could do to fight him.
"May I take your blood?" he asked with a sarcastic smile.
Shelley was screaming no in her head, but she couldn't say it.
"Okay, then, since you have no objections," Caleb said as he poised the needle over her arm once again. "I will take that as a yes."
Shelley wanted to scream out when she felt the needle plunge into her vein. She watched in horror as he drew not one, but three vials of her life force from her. They needed blood given freely, but if she couldn't object, then there was nothing she could do. She watched as he stepped out of her spell very carefully with his bounty in hand. Shelley glared at each of the humans, doing her best to convey the growing plot for revenge that was forming in her mind. When she got free, and make no mistake, she would get free. She was going to kill them all, and she was going to enjoy it like the demon she was.
"They're coming," Laura announced to everyone. She smiled at Shelley. "I know they won't give up on finding you, so we are just going to leave you here, but not without a little parting gift."
She blew a handful of herbs in Shelley's face. "Remember not our faces blurred, our plans protected, no trouble stirred." Then she lit another candle. Shelley got dizzy, and everything in her field of vision got blurry. She felt lightheaded and fought the urge to pass out. When her vision finally cleared, she was alone in the room, trapped in a demon confinement spell on the floor. Chapter 19. The mountains of West Virginia were beautiful, Jake thought, as he and his two angel companions flew over them. The trees were thick and full of bright greens and reds, interrupted only by the cut of the river that ran down the mountain they were passing. He didn't care if they had to inspect each and every house, barn, car, and warehouse in the entire United States. He was going to find Shelley. He didn't know when he went from hating her to caring so damn much, but it had happened.
In fact, if he were completely honest with himself, he would say that he had never hated her. She had intrigued him from the start, with her smart-ass attitude and her unique red and golden hair. Her eyes were lit with laughter, even when she was pissed off. He was drawn in by her passion, and not just her passion in bed. She was passionate about everything she did, from running her realm in hell, to fighting, to being obstinate about him belonging to her. She did everything at 110%. He knew, just knew that he was closer to her on this side of the earth. He had no way of explaining it, but he was certain Shelley was on earth, and he was getting closer to her. "He is mine," he heard Shelley's words in his head again. How many times had he heard those words in his mind? As much as he hated to admit it, the prospect had not offended him the first time she said it, and now he knew it was true. He would never be one of her souls in greed, but he was hers just the same. He thought maybe he always had been. His neck tingled where she had left a mark on him while they were together. Jake had never been one for hickeys, but this one he liked. It was her way of reminding him of her claim on him. "Hey," Antonio's voice rang out over the wind. "You listening?" Jake turned and looked back at the angel. "Yeah, what's up?" "Ash said we're landing," he barked back at Jake. Then he nosedived toward the tree line. Jake shook his head and followed him. He landed silently on the soft grass in a small clearing in the trees. Jake smiled as he realized that he was getting better at this whole flying thing. Ash and Antonio were already there, waiting for him. "About time you joined us," Ash grumbled. "What's going on in that head of yours?" Jake pressed his lips together before answering. "I don't really know," he admitted. "I guess I'm just worried is all." "As well you should be," Antonio replied to him. "I don't know what is going on with Shelley, but a rogue demon is never a good thing." "She isn't rogue," Jake snapped at him. "How do you know?" Antonio barked back at him. "She isn't where she is supposed to be." Jake stomped over to where Antonio stood and got right up in that angel's face. "I just know, okay? Back off!" "You act like I insulted your woman," he said. "You even look a bit pissed off because I even suggested it." "If we didn't need you, I think I would kill you," Jake growled at him. "Shelley is not rogue. She wouldn't do this to us. Something has happened to her, and whatever it is, she is in trouble." "I agree," Ash finally added to the conversation. "I haven't known Shelley long, but this is too far out of character for her. I don't like it, rogue or not. We have to find her." "Why don't you try looking for her aura, like you did when Leanne was missing?" Antonio asked Ash. Of course, when his younger sister had been kidnapped by demons, just after Ash assumed power, he had looked for her aura and it led them right to her. It had led them to Elizabeth as well. It was worth a try. "I don't know if I can find her if she hasn't been here," Ash warned him. "Try," Jake said. "It's all we got." Ash looked up at the clouds that were slowly inching their way across the afternoon sky and drew in a deep breath. Then he closed his eyes and lowered his head, clearing his mind of everything. Then he concentrated on his demon. Jake watched as patiently as he could. He hated that they were standing still on top of a mountain and not mobile in their search, but they had flown for hours without seeing hide nor hair of the woman. He shifted his weight from one foot to the other while Ash gathered his thoughts. A strong hand landed gently on his shoulder, and he knew without looking that it was Antonio. The angel was lending him his strength and patience. Ash's eyes snapped open and he looked out over the land before them. He searched every trail and every ridge with his eyes before turning to Antonio and Jake. "I got nothing." "Damn it," Jake snarled. The hickey on his neck started to tingle again and he rubbed at it. "Where the fuck is she? Can't we get a fucking break?" "What is that?" Antonio said, pointing to Jake's neck. "What is what?" Jake asked. "It's a hickey. Haven't you ever seen one before?" "No, it's not," Antonio said, coming closer for a better look. "I don't think that is what it is at all." "Of course it is," Jake said with a roll of his eyes. "Shelley got a little overzealous on my neck is all." "Ash," Antonio called out to their leader. "You should see this." Ash came to look and smiled. "Well, I'll be," he muttered. "Would one of you please tell me what the fuck all this is about?" Jake growled. "We're wasting time." "You should have told us," Ash told him. "This would have been helpful thousands of miles ago." Jake was teetering at the end of his rope. "Told you what? I'm not a fucking mind reader." "Hey, chill," Antonio said. "We don't want you setting the forest on fire. We're talking about that mark on your neck. It's not a hickey, or it's not just a hickey. That's a mating mark." "A what?"
Shelley has claimed you as hers, Ash said.
Well, duh, she told everyone I belong to her in greed. Doesn't mean I'm going to go there.
No, my friend, Ash said. She has marked you as her own, as her mate. You can find her.
Jake rubbed at his neck.
You sure?
He asked.
Antonio took out a cell phone and took a picture of the mark. Then he turned the phone so that Jake could see it. The mark that started out small was bigger than it had been before, and instead of being roundish in shape, it had taken on the contours of a small flame, working its way up his neck. It looked deliberate, like a tattoo.
You are probably the only one who can find her, Ash told him. Now concentrate. Where do we need to go?
Jake did what he saw Ash do earlier and closed his eyes. He concentrated on Shelley and her lovely hair, her fiery eyes, and her smile she wore like she had done something devious. He thought of the feel of her skin under his hands and the way she laughed. He felt a tingling on his neck and then a pull in his chest. It was as if he were a puppet on a string. He knew which way to go. He opened his wings and shot into the sky, knowing the others would follow him. He followed the pull he felt to the east with the sun to his back. He was going to find her. They flew over the mountains and toward the coast. Jake let his heart guide him through the changing landscape and then followed the river east. The further they flew, the closer he felt to her. He could almost smell her hair, could almost feel the touch of her hand. Before long, they were back in the same city where they met up with the witch for the scrying spell. Damn it, Jake thought. They had been here. They had been so close and yet so far away at the same time. She had been under their noses the whole time. Anger boiled up in his chest, but he fought it down. He didn't have anyone to direct it at. Not yet, but soon. As soon as he found her and she was safe and sound, whoever was responsible for this was going to pay. He prayed she was safe. Jake landed on the roof of an apartment building and stalked toward the stairs. She's here, he said without looking back. Ash and Antonio were right behind him. He realized that he could feel them, too. He didn't need to see or hear them for confirmation. The men had formed some kind of bond during his short time as a guard, and for that he was grateful. He could feel their trust, their friendship. It balanced out his temper that was only hanging on by a thread. Jake plowed through the heavy door that led off the roof and into the interior of the building. He maneuvered the stairs without fault. He broke into a jog on the second floor hallway. The pull in him was getting stronger and stronger, and his heart kicked up a notch as he approached the door. It was just like any other door. It was painted brown and it had a deadbolt and a handle. The difference was that as Jake laid his hand on the wood, he could literally feel her presence on the other side. In here, he said, as he laid his head against the door. Please let her be all right, he thought. He looked over his shoulder at Ash, who nodded. Then Jake took the knob in his hand and wrenched it open. The deadbolt gave under his strength, and the door splintered away from the frame. Jake threw it open and stepped inside the small apartment. What the fuck? Antonio asked as he came in as well. Jake's sentiments exactly. The room was a wreck. A lamp was knocked over and lay on the floor, its light flickering on and off. The furniture was all askew by varying degrees, and there was broken glass everywhere. There was a table in the center with herbs and two candles lit on it. But just beyond that was Shelley. Jake's heart did a little flip in his chest. She was alive. She was standing ramrod straight in the center of a drawing on the floor. Witches, Ash growled as he rubbed at the chalk drawing on the floor. Someone summoned her. What? Jake barked as he walked to her. Her eyes met his, but she didn't move a muscle. There was something very wrong going on here. Jake knew without a doubt he would never forget that look in her eyes. They were traumatized, haunted. What happened? He asked her, but she only stared back at him with a terrifying look. She's under a spell, Ash said as he finally rubbed one of the lines of the spell on the floor away. Still, she didn't move. You're free now, Ash told her. Shelley's eyes only moved to meet her leader's. She tried to convey her situation to him, but it was useless. She couldn't move, not a single muscle. She tried to make her feet move. She tried to make her mouth speak, but she was trapped inside herself, a prison made of her own skin. Damn it, Ash shouted. Blow those fucking candles out. Antonio moved to do just that, but Jake went to Shelley. He wrapped his arms around her stiff body and held her close to him. I'm going to find who did this to you, he promised her.
I'm going to find them, and I'm going to kill them.
Antonio blew out the candles. Shelley was finally able to move. All of her limbs started going at once with the pent-up energy that she had summoned before. Jake was almost thrown back away from her, but he held on strong.
"Stop fighting me!" he shouted at her.
"Sons of bitches!" she growled. "Where did they go?"
"Calm down," Ash said gently. "It's all right. We're here now."
He laid his hand on her shoulder, and Shelley forced herself to stop thrashing.
"What happened?" Jake asked her.
The look she gave him would have burned a lesser man where he stood.
"I was summoned," she said through gritted teeth.
"We figured that much," Antonio offered.
"By whom?"
Shelley yanked her head around to glare at him.
"I don't fucking know," she replied. "I thought it was Ash."
She looked at her leader.
"I let the spell take me because I figured it was you, finally realizing you could do it. Next thing I know, I'm stuck in that fucking circle, and I can't hear anything or move."
"Did you see anyone?" Ash asked her. Shelley shook her head.
"It's like I can't focus on their faces. It's a blur. They must have done something to me. I know there were three of them."
Jake was gently rubbing her arm while she talked, and noticed a small puncture wound in the bend of her elbow.
"What happened here?" he asked.
Shelley looked at the mark.
"Beats me.
It looks like they took her blood," Antonio said.
"Well, fuck," Ash grumbled.
Shelley growled.
"I swear I'm going to kill them."
"I don't understand," Jake admitted.
"If they took my blood, then they can call me again and again," Shelley told him.
"Not to mention any number of other things."
"This is seriously fucked up," Antonio said, to no one in particular.
"Thank you, Captain Obvious," Shelley snarled at him. Jake heard a low growl that seemed to come from everywhere all at once. Shelley looked up into his eyes, and he realized the feral sound was coming from him. His vision went red, and smoke began to fill the room.
"I will kill them," he snarled,
pulling her closer to his chest. Yellow and red flames began to dance up the walls and across the ceiling. The fire grew until the alarms went off.
"Shit," Antonio barked.
He started looking for an extinguisher out of habit.
"No," Ash said, "let it go. It's better if it burns anyway.
Antonio, grab the laptop and anything else that might help us and Jake take Shelley home." He saw Antonio get to work on his orders, and there was no sign of Jake. He didn't have to be told to take Shelley out of there. It was already done. Ash looked around the room one last time. The smoke was heavy and thick. No doubt the other residents of the building had already started evacuating. Once Antonio was gone and the fire was chewing up everything in its path, Ash flashed himself back to hell.
Chapter 20.
Ash and Antonio returned to hell with electronics in hand. They flashed immediately into Ash's office. Ash knew before he had completely materialized that Elizabeth was already there.
"And what did you think would happen?" she asked.
Ash turned and saw that she had pulled a chair up to the cage and was talking to the soul who had escaped greed.
"I didn't know," Liam admitted to her. "I just thought I could help."
"Hey, Liz," Antonio said cheerfully. "What's up, my boo?"
Elizabeth turned and gifted Antonio with a warm smile.
"Just talking," she answered him.
Ash growled at his friend.
"She's not your boo,"
he grunted under his breath. He knew that Antonio was just like that, but still, he didn't like anyone calling his woman by a pet name, especially that one. Who came up with that anyway? He should find that person and rearrange their brain for them, he decided. It would be doing the whole world a favor.
"Oh, that is where you are wrong," Antonio grinned. "I love this woman to pieces. She can be my boo if she wants to."
Ash knew that Antonio was just messing with him for fun. It was just the way the angel was. He was a fierce warrior, but damned if he didn't try to get a rise out of Ash every chance he got. Ash knew better, though. Antonio had his own mate waiting for him in heaven when he was finished helping Ash get his guard together.
"Don't make me rethink that whole not killing you thing,"
Ash warned him as he went to his mate. He held out his hand for her, and she took it. Ash pulled her from her chair and wrapped her in his embrace. He stole a kiss from her lips and set her on her feet.
"What are you doing?"
"I was just talking to Liam," she said.
"I missed you. Did you find Shelley?"
Ash nodded. "Someone summoned her. They took her blood."
"What does that mean?" she asked him.
Ash settled into his chair and pulled Elizabeth into his lap.
"I'm not sure yet. We have their laptop and a few other things. We're hoping that we can find out what their plan was by the information we get off it."
Antonio had already taken a seat and booted up the laptop.
"Yeah, that's not going to be as easy as we thought," he said without looking away from the screen.
"Why not?" Ash asked him.
"It's encrypted. Pretty fucking good, too."
Antonio tapped away at the keyboard, but his brow furrowed deep. I ain't sure I can get into it. I don't suppose you are computer savvy. Ash motioned for Antonio to give him the computer, and he slid it across the desk. Ash typed at it for a moment, only to realize it was locked up good. Damn, he cursed. Yeah, that's what I said, Antonio agreed. I thought you were good at hacking. Ash shook his head. I am a novice at best, he admitted. Oh well, Antonio said cheerfully. I got this.
He closed the laptop and tucked it under his arm.
What are you doing? Ash asked him. I know a guy, Antonio answered, as if that should explain it. The last time you said that, my woman came back to me a vampire, Ash reminded him. What, don't you like me as a vampire? Elizabeth said incredulously. I thought you liked the fangs. She grinned, exposing the teeth in question, and Ash had to will the shiver that ran down his spine into submission. Oh, he liked the fangs. He liked them a lot. I was just saying, Ash said. I promise not to bring back a vampire computer. Antonio vowed before taking the computer and disappearing. That man, Ash said, shaking his head. I like him. Elizabeth turned to face Ash and draped her legs over his, straddling him. But I like you more. Hmm, Ash hummed. Speaking of teeth, he said. You seem pale. Are you hungry? Elizabeth grinned and Ash stood, taking her with him. She wrapped her legs around his hips as he walked them both to his bedroom. Jake and Shelley flashed to his sleeping quarters. He let go of her only long enough to make sure the door was locked. No one is getting in here tonight, he told her. Shelley was standing there with her arms wrapped around herself, as if she were trying to hold it together. And why wouldn't she be? She had just been through a terribly traumatic experience, and the fact that it was a blur to her only made things worse. I don't understand, she said softly. Shh, he whispered to her, as he took her into the circle of his arms.
Right now you need to rest.
He led her over to his bed, and the fact that she allowed him to lead her at all was a testament to how shaken up she really was. She sat on the bed and tried to clear the confusion from her mind. Her body felt as if she had been standing for days, and in reality she had been. How long had those humans kept her prisoner? That she had been taken at all grated against her nerves, like fingernails on a chalkboard. How could I have been so careless? She asked. Why didn't I see what was going on? How can humans be so powerful? Jake thought maybe she wasn't talking to him, exactly, but more as if she were thinking out loud, sorting things out in her head. He let her ask her questions before finally laying back on the bed and pulling her down beside him. Come on, he told her. Stay with me tonight. Shelley started to object, but by the time she had a good argument formed, Jake had positioned her within the crook of his arm and her head on his chest. She could hear the steady drum of his heart under her ear, and the sound was soothing. His arm was wrapped around her back, and he was holding her close to him, as if she were precious to him. She tossed her objections aside and allowed herself the comfort of another soul. Shelley had always been a loner, never trusting anyone too much, but she felt as though she could trust Jake, with her life, as it were. There was just something about him that called to her, and something that smoothed her rough edges and made her feel things that had been completely foreign to her before. Trust was one of those things. Safe. Loved. Even if Jake didn't know, Shelley knew. He loved her. It was obvious in the way he held her. No one could fake that kind of concern, or the kind of protectiveness he displayed for her. In the shelter he provided her from the rest of hell, Shelley allowed herself to do something she had never done before. She let herself fall asleep in the presence of another. Jake didn't know how long he watched Shelley sleep before he drifted off himself. He woke a few hours later to the feel of her small hands on his chest. She wasn't being still, either. Her hands were exploring his torso, as if she were learning each and every curve of muscle and each follicle of hair that scattered over his chest. Her nails drifted over his skin, and goose flesh broke out all over his body. His skin wasn't the only organ affected by her touch. He had fallen asleep in his jeans, and they were becoming very uncomfortable very quickly. He tried to pretend that he was still asleep for fear that she would stop touching him. But when her nail raked over one of his nipples, his sharp intake of breath gave him away. Like that, do you? She smiled, looking up at his face. Jake opened his eyes and found her staring back at him. I could wake up every day to that sight, he mumbled. I don't know about every day, she said, with a smile. But for today, it seems to be working. Jake smiled at her and craned his neck down to kiss her forehead. She pushed up on her arms and fused their mouths together.
Her lips were soft on his, and she took her time exploring him. Jake leaned back and let her. He didn't want to push anything on her at that moment, so he let her do whatever she wanted to him. For the time being, she seemed content to nip and suck at his lips. It wasn't long before Jake couldn't be submissive any longer. He reached up and cradled the back of her neck with his hand and drove his tongue inside her mouth. Shelley moaned softly and allowed Jake's tongue to boss hers around. She sucked at him and reveled in the shivers he tried to control. He was hers. She moved her body to straddle his, and he wrapped his free arm around her, pulling her chest to his own. He could feel her heart beating against her ribs, and his own heart echoed the same beat. "I need this," she whispered in his ear. Jake was all too happy to oblige her. He held her tight and flipped their position so that she was underneath him. In the amount of time it took him to move, the entire dynamic of the situation changed. Jake became suddenly desperate for her. He lowered his head to her lips once again, but this time he was not gentle about it. He ate at her like he was starving, and she was the river of life. Her mewls and moans were all the encouragement he needed to keep going. He finally dragged his lips from hers and left a blazing trail of hot kisses down her neck and across her collarbone. That shirt she was wearing had to go. He pushed up on his arms and then shifted his weight to one hand while the other yanked it up over her head. Shelley was happy to help him and sat up just enough to get the shirt off. "Stunning," Jake said to her as he took in the sight of her breasts in front of him. He paid homage to the soft skin on her chest and to each pink bud that strained toward him, begging for attention. Then he kissed his way down her stomach until he reached the barrier her jeans presented. "Gotta go," he said to the material as he ripped it open and shoved it down her legs. Shelley giggled at his antics. She had always been the alpha in any relationship she had, but she liked this caveman attitude he was showing her. She liked that he was desperate for her, almost as much as she was for him. Jake split her thighs with his large shoulders and settled on his elbows. He breathed in her scent before lowering his head for a taste of her core. Shelley's hips shot up off the mattress at the first contact, and her hand secured his head in place.
His tongue teased and tormented her, but it was such sweet torture.
After he had licked and nibbled and kissed every inch of skin he could find on her, Shelley was finally able to convince him to let her do a little exploring of her own. She started at the top, kissing his neck and shoulders, and worked her way down. He was happy to kick his pants off for her, and Shelley paused her lick fest to admire his body. "You are perfect," she told him. "Not perfect," he argued. "You are to me," she said. And as the words left her lips, she realized how true they were. He was perfect. From his strong arms to his broad shoulders, his tight abs all the way down to his toes, she couldn't find anything that didn't make her engine rev. Even his cock, which she held in her hand at the moment, was perfect for her. Shelley looked up his body at his face. "I wish I had some chocolate right now," she said with a grin. Jake picked his head up. "What?" Shelley shrugged as her hand tightened around him. "Everything is better dipped in chocolate." "Oh," Jake said with wide eyes when he realized what she was talking about.
"I really need some chocolate right now."
Out of nowhere, a bottle of chocolate syrup appeared in his hand, and he laughed. "Angels always have what they need," he chuckled and handed the bottle to her. Shelley pushed up to sit on her knees and opened the bottle. With a sly grin, she tilted the bottle on its side and watched with fascination as the thick, dark liquid poured out. She aimed for his cock, drizzling the sweet syrup over him in short lines.
"Oh, that's much nicer than I could have imagined," he breathed as he watched her.
He pushed up onto his elbows to have a better view. His whole body jumped when she licked her upper lip. Then she went in for dessert. Shelley licked and sucked at the chocolate, running her tongue along his length and back up again, until there was nothing left but smooth skin that stretched tight over steel. Jake had muttered encouragements to her at first,
but eventually all he was left with were incoherent moans.
He was loath to take his eyes off of her, unable to wait to see what she would do next. Everything she did surprised him in a way that he couldn't imagine ever having to live without. He wondered how he had lived without it in the first place. She climbed up his body and angled her hips over his erection. "You ready for this?" she asked. "More than you can imagine," he groaned.
and then she slid her body over his, taking him inside her. Jake was lost to the sensation of being one with this incredible woman. He watched her as her back arched and her hips flexed over him, her head tilted back as she gave in to the pleasure he was giving her with every move of his hips. He was hers to command, but she was his too. He knew it deep inside himself. This demon had worked her way into his heart and made a home for herself there, and he would spend every hour of every day making sure she stayed there. As he pushed himself further inside her, Jake gave her all he had to give. He gave her his body, his heart, and his soul. As they made love,
and even though he didn't know how he did it,
Jake knew without a doubt that he gave her just a little piece of himself that would stay with her forever, marking her as his mate for the rest of eternity.
Chapter 21. Jake and Shelley walked into Ash's office when the heavy doors opened for them. Ash knew they were coming. The pair had been allowed their alone time, but now it was time to debrief. Ash was sitting behind his desk with a blade in his hand. He had the handle secured in his right hand, and the tip was just touching the palm of his left. He was turning it over and over again, as if he were doing it subconsciously to what he was thinking about. "Hey," Jake said as he led Shelley into the room. "Have a seat," Ash said, motioning to the two chairs across from him. This was the man Jake first met. He was serious, and menace poured off him. This was the angel that nearly killed Jake when he put his fire out. This was serious. "I won't get into any niceties right now. We need to know what happened. I need to know everything you remember," he said to Shelley. Shelley straightened her shoulders beside Jake, and he slipped his hand over and laid it on her knee to lend her support. "I honestly don't remember very much," she admitted to him. "I was summoned, and I thought it was you, so I went with it. The rest is just a blur."
"You don't remember anything about your abductors," Ash said. Not a question, but he had already known that. Shelley shook her head. "I think they put a spell on me to make me not remember. I can remember bits and pieces, but that's it."
"Why don't you tell me what those pieces are?" Ash recommended, leaning forward and bracing his elbows on his desk. Shelley eyed the knife he was toying with. The blade was as black as his wings were, and the handle was made from bone. It didn't take a genius to figure out what it was. Any demon worth their own weight knew of it. Just very few had seen it. Those who had seen it didn't live to tell about it. Shelley swallowed hard. "Is that what I think it is?" she asked, staring at the blade. Ash plunged the knife down into his desk and allowed it to stand on its own. "It is," he told her. "The Blade of Darkness really does exist. Now talk." Jake gritted his teeth together. He didn't know what was so special about this knife, and he didn't care. The fact that it had given Shelley pause grinded his gears and made him want to take her out of there immediately.
"I remember something about a gate and Balthazar. That's it, though, I'm afraid," Shelley said without looking away from that knife.
"What the fuck is that thing?" Jake finally asked, unable to stand it any longer. "The Blade of Darkness is a knife used to kill demons," Ash told him. Then he turned his attention back to Shelley. "You don't remember anything else?" She dropped her head and shook it.
"No, I'm sorry."
Ash leaned back in his chair. "We have to assume that they have your blood," he told her. "You know I really do like you." Shelley nodded, but didn't meet his eyes. Jake watched as the pieces started to fit together. The Blade of Darkness. Shelley's defeated attitude. The sadness in Ash's eyes. "Oh, hell no." "Wait just a minute," Jake barked, standing from his seat so fast that it knocked over behind him. "Are you saying what I think you're saying?" "Please sit down," Ash said quietly.
"Hell no, I won't," Jake bellowed. "You're planning to kill her, aren't you?"
Ash looked at Jake with a completely unreadable expression.
"Answer me, damn it," Jake demanded,
slamming his fists on Ash's desk and getting nose to nose with him.
"You will not touch her."
Ash rose slowly from his seat and met Jake's eyes. Both men had taken on the signature red in their eyes that meant the shit was about to go down in a serious way.
"I do not believe you are in any position to give me orders," Ash growled at him.
"Fuck that," Jake snarled, unafraid of Ash's wrath. "Why would you even consider it? I thought you were good. Why would you punish her for something she didn't do, for something she had no control over?" Ash shoved the desk out of the way and shoved Jake against the wall.
"Because they have her blood."
"So? They can summon her again. They can use it for spells. They can control her with it," Ash shouted in his face. The anger quickly dropped to a simmering rage in Jake.
"Control her?" he asked.
Ash stepped back from him. "Yes, control her.
as in use her as a puppet to infiltrate and destroy us. I am thinking of the greater good for everyone here. I don't want to kill her. I won't let you. Jake met his leader's terrifying stare. I won't do it. I will destroy you first. He didn't raise his voice. It was not a threat. It was a promise, and Ash knew Jake had every intention of keeping it. Shelley was his mate, and mates would die for each other. What else can I do? Ash asked him. If you have another way, I am open to suggestions. I will stay with her, at all times. I won't let her out of my sight. If they summon her, I will follow. I will protect her and kill anyone who tries to harm her. We know what they are looking for. Balthazar. So I say we find him first. Ash paced the room while he pondered Jake's words. He looked from his angel to his demon. They were mates. How could he kill her? He would let no one near Elizabeth, and Ash understood better than anyone the need to protect one's mate. Perhaps Jake was onto something. You stay on her like stink on shit, Ash commanded. If anything goes haywire, it's on you. Do you understand me? Jake let out a breath of relief. I understand. Shelley had watched the whole exchange in silence. She had known that Ash intended to kill her. It was the smart thing to do. It was what she would have done. But as Jake fought for her, she was impressed. She was filled with an emotion that she was unfamiliar with. Hope. He was willing to risk his life, his afterlife, to save her. And didn't that fill her up with the warm and fuzzies? Jake was one hell of an angel, and he was hers. There was no mistaking it, no denying it. She hadn't been able to let him go from the first time she had seen him, and now she knew why. It wasn't because he belonged in Greed. It was because he was her mate. He was everything a mate should be. He was loving and gentle when the time called for it, but he was vicious and dangerous when he needed to be. He didn't put up with her shit and gave it as good as he got. He was her perfect match, and she couldn't stop the smile that split her lips. How do we find Balthazar? Jake was asking. I can help with that, Shelley finally offered. Yeah? Jake turned to her. How? I'll call him, Shelley stood and brushed off her pants. You can just call him? Jake asked. I thought he was in lockup, Ash said. Of course I can, she said. He's my father, and he is right downstairs. Chapter 22. Shelley led Ash, Jake, and Antonio into the depths of hell. None of them, save for Shelley, had been given the official tour of this part of hell. Ash had seen it, of course, through his extensive monitoring systems in his office, but never up close and personal. This was where the worst of the worst were kept locked away, hidden from everyone else. The inhabitants of this prison they were walking into were the cream of the crop where evil was concerned. It was also where Lucifer's son was being held for his eternity. Shelley typed in a combination into a keypad, and two heavy steel doors clicked open for her. The group was silent, except for the click of Shelley's high heels on the concrete floor. They passed row after row of heavy doors, each of them containing a demon who had committed some heinous crime, even among their own kind. This is Stefan's cell, she said as they passed one of the doors. Lucifer's son was just beyond that door. I hear the vampire that put him here unscrambled his demented brain and made him sane. Gave him a conscience, too, Antonio said. Now he is cursed to live out eternity with his own regrets about the things he did, and no way to escape them. Ash shivered. Jake muttered a curse under his breath. Here we go, Shelley said with a smile. A roar came from the other side of the door she stopped in front of. Hi to you too, Dad, she said to the door. She typed in another code next to the door, and the steel contraption slid silently to one side, revealing the demon inside. There were bars across the opening of the cell, and the demon was chained to the wall. Jake stared at Shelley's father. She must have gotten her looks from her mother, because it sure as hell wasn't from him. The demon inside was enormous, with black skin and horns made of ebony that curled back from his head. His eyes were black as night, and his hands were not hands at all, but talons. He had the torso of a man, but the body of a horse. A centaur? I thought those only existed in myths, Ash said aloud. Myths are based on truths, Shelley told him. Then she turned her attention to her father. Have any visitors lately? She asked with a smile. Balthazar moved like lightning toward the bars that separated them, but the silver chains that bound him to the wall stopped him just short of his destination. Man, that silver bites, doesn't it? She asked him. Silver, Jake whispered. Yeah, demons are allergic to pure silver, Ash explained. It keeps them from escaping. Jake nodded, but kept his eyes on the interaction between his woman and what was the equivalent of his father-in-law. He shuddered. Talk about your in-laws from hell.
Do I want to know what he did to get in there? Jake whispered.
I think, Antonio whispered back in the day, he was responsible for letting loose the Black Plague.
You, Jake said. Antonio nodded in agreement.
So as I asked before, any new visitors? She asked again.
I should have killed you when you were born,
the demon snarled at her.
Oh, Dad, you always know just what to say, Shelley cooed at him, clutching her hands to her chest. Jake smothered a laugh. He loved that woman.
No one sees me, Balthazar growled. What has happened?
Can't I just drop by to see dear old Dad? Shelley asked him.
No,
he grunted.
Not with an audience. Go away.
I'm afraid that is not possible, Ash said, stepping forward and pushing Shelley behind him. Has anyone come to your cell?
Fuck you,
the demon said. Ash called on his powers. He knew the instant his eyes went red because so did his vision. He allowed the black fire to light all over his skin and stared at the prisoner. The demon's head jerked up when he saw the display of power.
You, he breathed. Things have been changing.
The demon dutifully arranged his body so that his front hooves were bent at the knee, and he lowered his head.
What can I do for you, my liege?
Ash rolled his eyes but said nothing about the bowing. He hated it when they bowed, but in this case, he was going to let it slide.
I want to know about your visitors.
The demon stood.
None, he replied. Not until you. Is it possible that you are looking for a new second-in-command? I would be pleased to be at your service.
Ash shook his head. No, sorry. You're in here for a reason, and here you will stay. They walked away from the demon, and the cell door closed behind them. They all walked in silence back to Ash's office. How long are you going to keep them in there? Jake asked Ash.
Eternity, Ash replied. We don't need the likes of him running around. Then he picked up his phone.
Mally, yes. I need you to triple the security in the prison, especially on Balthazar.
There was a pause.
No, don't give any reasons. I'm in charge here and I say more security.
Thanks.
He hung up the phone and turned to his friends. Funny how they had just been souls he worked with a few days earlier.
That's wonderful and all, Jake said, but I was referring to him.
He pointed over to the corner of the room where Liam, the soul who got out of greed, was still sitting in his cage.
Hell, I don't know, Ash said.
He really is on the bottom of my priority list. Jake stole a glance at the soul who was sitting quietly and watching everything that was going on. He felt sorry for the bastard, to be honest.
Did you find anything on the laptop? Ash asked Antonio.
Yeah, I got my brother to crack it for you, Antonio answered. He pulled the computer out of its case and opened it for Ash. The screen was unlocked, and Ash immediately went to work sorting through the files.
I had him restore as much as he could, Antonio continued. They tried to wipe the hard drive, but they didn't do a very good job. I don't know the particulars, but I know it took my guy a minute to crack it.
You have a guy for everything, don't you? Ash asked him as he clicked his way around the operating system.
Antonio shrugged.
What do we do now? Shelley asked.
We find those fuckers who took you and get your blood back, Jake told her.
I hate to admit it, but... Shelley started. But she didn't have to finish the thought. Jake grabbed her hand and pulled her close to him.
Don't you worry, he told her, cutting her off. I am going to be right by your side from now until we find them.
What about my realm? Shelley asked. I don't want you to get trapped in there. I have to be there sometimes.
Jake furrowed his brow.
That room full of rocks? He asked.
I think I can handle it.
Her face lit up.
You see rocks?
He nodded.
Yeah, at first I saw golden riches, but when you went missing, all I saw was rocks.
Do you know what that means? She asked, wrapping her arms around his neck.
What?
It means you have beaten your sin, she grinned.
I don't know about all that, he said to her. Just maybe I found something I want more.
Jake knew that Ash and Antonio were watching them, and he didn't care, as Shelley crushed her lips to his. He held her tight and kissed her back, conveying what he felt in his heart for her. When he had made the transition from caring to love, he didn't know, but it was there, just the same.
Chapter 23. 2 Earth Years Later. Jake stood silently in the open doorway of the classroom, where his charge was now teaching a class, full of high school students with Shelley on his arm. Lucy had picked up the shambles of her life and moved to Texas. She had even changed her name. Now she was Lacey, and she was doing what she had always wanted to do with her life, teaching. He hated that so much time had passed, but time moved differently in hell than it did on Earth. Jake had to keep reminding himself that he did his part, albeit forbidden, to help Lacey when she wrecked her car.
The rest was her time to grow and change. Now Jake could see the spunk and the fire in her eyes that could only come from a soul deep. It was what drew Ash to her, and it was what was going to land her in front of Ash one day, just like he had been. Jake had done a complete background check on the woman and discovered that she had a master's degree in teaching. She had also been learning to defend herself. Lacey had been taking karate classes for months and was getting better at it every day. He could see the difference in her. It was obvious in the way she moved and in the way she carried herself. She was a whole new person. Jake felt a foreign emotion well in his chest. Pride. Not for himself, but for this woman, who had beaten the odds and came back stronger than before. She pulled herself out of her abusive relationship, and instead of hiding, she molded herself into a warrior. He watched as she scribbled something on the chalkboard and then turned to ask questions of her students. It was obvious that they respected her. Jake felt a smile tug at the corner of his lips. It didn't matter whether the kids liked their teacher or not when it came to high school. What mattered was that the kids respected their teacher. Lacey had that in spades. She was no longer the timid, introverted woman he had first seen in her small house months ago. She was confident and strong. Jake was happy. For the first time in his life, he truly understood what it meant to be whole. He had been reluctant to welcome Shelley into his heart, but her forceful nature and her possessive streak had awakened something inside of him that he didn't know existed. For the first time, he wanted something more. More than riches and fame. More than notoriety and infamy. He wanted life. Not just his own, but hers, because without her, he was nothing. He had been selfish and greedy in life. He thought when Ash offered him a job that he would get a chance to make things right. He had been right and he had been wrong. The job had brought him to his place in life, or afterlife, as it was, but it was Shelley who had truly been his redemption. She had inadvertently pulled Jake out of himself and taught him what it was like to love. She was his perfect other half, meant to be his for all eternity. It was the stuff romance novels were made of, and instead of cringing at the thought, Jake grinned. He still worried about the humans who had managed to hold her captive. True to his word, he had not left Shelley's side while the humans were on the lam. The fact that they had Shelley's blood irked him to no end. Not only could they use it to summon Balthazar, but it could be dangerous to his woman as well. They could summon her again, and she would be powerless to fight it. They could destroy her if they so desired, and they could use it to control her, putting everyone at risk. It was a risk he wasn't ready to take. Jake took some measure of comfort knowing that because of her bullheadedness, because she insisted on marking him, he could always find her. He smiled as he remembered that her initial marking had been to be an ass, to prove to the world that when Shelley claimed something, or someone as her own, that she meant business. Now, the mating was mutual. If they did summon her, and Lord better help them if they did, they wouldn't hold her for long. Those humans had disappeared without a trace. Jake and Ash had searched the world over for them, but they were nowhere to be found. That laptop they retrieved was full of coded emails and files that made no sense whatsoever. Ash had put Mally to work on them, but it was slow coming. It was obvious that they had help from someone, but who? There were still so many questions left unanswered, and Jake vowed to find those answers. He would protect his woman, his demon, his soulmate, his redemption. Chapter 24. Lacey had engaged her class for the entire period. She looked at her clock and realized that the hour and a half had flown by. She couldn't help but feel a little proud of herself for getting her students interested and involved. She tapped her laptop to open the homework screen and said, "I will email everyone tonight's assignment. Please remember to check it." And that was when it happened. The intercom on her phone started playing a jingle. The students looked up in confusion, but Lacey knew exactly what it was. She looked at her intercom like it just stood up and did a little dance. What the hell? She wasn't aware of any drills today, but they didn't always tell anyone. But that jingle, it was specific. It was non-threatening, but it was the worst of them all as far as Lacey was concerned. It was the one that meant the school was under attack. Her heart stopped for a second and then thundered in her chest. Her cell phone beeped, and Lacey knew without looking that it was the same warning, a backup for any teachers that were not in their classrooms. A part of her realized that this was probably a drill, but a nagging feeling in the pit of her stomach told her it was not. "Class," she said, snapping into action.
She had been through this drill 24 times. She knew what to do. When the bell rings, I do not want you to leave your seats. In fact, I would like for everyone to please move to the back of the room. We're having a drill, I think.
The class didn't argue. They, too, had been through the drill. Lacey moved quickly to the door of her class and gently pushed it closed. Then she locked it. She didn't know why, but something told her that this was not a drill and to keep her students safe. She looked back at her desk and thought of her 9mm that was tucked safely away in the locked drawer. She fingered the key that hung around her neck for only a moment before making her decision. She chose the largest kid in her class.
"Jamie," she said to him softly, "I need your help, please."
The boy stood at his full height. He was well over 6 feet tall. He was a football player and built like a Mack truck.
"What you need, Miss B?" he asked her.
Lacey stood behind her desk, facing Jamie on the other side.
"I don't like this," she whispered. "I can't explain it, but I just know this is not a drill."
The boy's eyes widened, but he remained calm.
"I need you to block me from the camera's view. Don't look at it."
There was a camera in each classroom, at the back, so that the entire room was easily visible. Jamie nodded, knowing his back was to it.
"What are we going to do?" he asked her.
Lacey felt her heart swell with pride. This 17-year-old boy was showing more courage than most men.
"I need to get something, and I don't want you to say anything about it," she said. "Just stand there and take the book I hand you, and then go back to the back of the room. Try to quietly gather as many students as you can, and get them out of sight of the camera. I need you to act as if this is just a drill. A little annoyance would even be good."
Jamie nodded and put one hand on her desk, shifting his weight to appear more casual. Lacey smiled and then took the key off her necklace. She opened her drawer and carefully slipped her hand inside. She felt the cool butt of the gun glide into her palm, and she took it out of the drawer without lifting it too high. No one but she and Jamie could see it.
"Miss B," he whispered, fear clouding his eyes.
Lacey shook her head.
"I hope I am wrong. Never speak of this, please."
"Wouldn't dream of it," he said too quietly for anyone but her to hear. All of the students had heard the rumors that a select few of their teachers had conceal and carry permits. They just never knew which ones. From the looks of things, Miss B was one of them. She handed Jamie the folder that contained her great-great-grandfather's letters.
"You keep that safe for me," she said with a smile.
He nodded once and held the folder to his chest as if they were a shield from the world. Lacey hated that she had put this on him, that she had let him in on her secret, but it was the only way she could retrieve her gun without anyone else seeing.
"Good afternoon, teachers and students,"
a strange voice said over the PA.
"By now, you have probably figured out that this school is on lockdown, and if you have not, let me clear it up for you. No one leaves. Anyone who tries to leave will be killed. My team and I do not wish to cause harm to any of the students, but we will not hesitate to shoot if necessary."
Lacey pressed her lips together in a thin line. Then she heard the whispers and the sniffles of her students. 25 children, all her responsibility. She looked knowingly at Jamie, who was still holding her folder tight to his chest.
"Your principal is already dead, as is the rent-a-cop at the door. Anyone else who tries to alert any outside assistance will also be shot. When your government complies with our demands, we will be on our way, with no one else hurt."
Terrorists, Lacey thought. But why a school? The U.S. government does not negotiate with terrorists. She could tell by the faint accent the man speaking had that he was not a citizen. She didn't know where he was from, and she didn't care. She was just handed a new mission in life, and it was to get those students out of there alive. Jake watched as his charge shoved her fears aside and took action. He knew he wasn't supposed to interfere, but there were 500 kids in that school. So when the group of 6 men with assault rifles entered the building, he had warned her. He whispered in her ear that things were about to go to shit, and fast. Shelley was at his side, and she made no move to stop him. She had even gone to the office to see what the men were up to while he kept watch on Lacey.
"They're going to blow it up," Shelley said, appearing out of thin air. "They got one in the basement, setting it up. I don't know much about explosives, but it looks pretty freaking big."
"We need Antonio," Jake said. "Let's go quickly." The pair flashed to Ash's office, hoping Antonio was there, and that he could get there in time to stop this from happening. Lacey couldn't explain how she knew it, but she knew. Those terrorists had no intention of letting anyone go. She peered out of the small window in her door and saw that one man,
dressed in black and holding an assault weapon, was walking the hallway, preventing anyone from escaping that route.
Shit, she muttered under her breath.
She walked quickly to the back of her classroom where her students waited for her.
We can't stay here, she said to them quietly.
We can't leave, one of the girls cried out. They'll kill us.
Lacey took the girl's hand in her own and squeezed it.
If we stay here, we're dead.
Lacey could feel the cold metal of her gun pressed into the back of her jeans, and it gave her some measure of comfort. If anyone came into her classroom, they better be firing when they entered. She was fast, and she was accurate, and she wouldn't hesitate to protect her students.
I have a plan, but you all have to remain calm and do exactly what I say.
It took some convincing, but her students were finally on board with her.
They can access our video feed from the office, she told them. That's why we are standing below the camera, where it can't see. As far as they know, this is an empty classroom, save for the teacher.
She waited to make sure they were following her.
They don't know we're in here.
She looked at the ceiling, and something told her that her way out was up there. The vent.
I need someone tall and strong, she said.
Jamie stood. What can I do? He asked.
Lift me up by the wall to that vent up there, she said.
Jamie held his hands together in front of him, and Lacey stepped into them. He hefted her up, and she finagled herself so that she was sitting on his shoulders. She reached up and popped the grate off the air vent. She lowered it carefully, and one of her students took it from her.
We are going to have to be extremely quiet. It's away from the office, and there's a large fan that leads to the outside. Move slowly and carefully. Do not make a sound. If you hear something, don't move. Don't give them any indication of where you are. When you get to the fan, stop. Do not go outside until I am there. Do you all understand?
25 heads nodded.
Good. Now let's get you all out of here.
Lacey helped Jamie lift each student into the duct system. They did as she asked and moved as silently as possible until the only student remaining was Jamie. There is no way I'm fitting into that van, he told her. Lacey had already known that, but she had hoped.
I'll figure something out, Lacey told him.
I'm going with you, he said firmly.
Jamie, she said. You can't. I don't know if I'm even going to get out.
Of course you will, Miss B, he said. You will because you're the shit and you're the smartest teacher here. I know it and I am going to help you.
Jamie, I can't. I can't let you come with me.
Miss B, he said quietly, I know I am just a kid to you, but I am strong. I can fight. If this were the Civil War, I would be a soldier now. I am going to help you whether you like it or not.
Lacey didn't know what to do. She was torn between protecting the child and accepting his help.
Hang on, she muttered, and got out her cell phone.
She texted all the teachers she had numbers saved in her phone for, telling them to send their students out the way she did. Then she looked back at Jamie.
We aren't going to have much time, she warned him. As soon as the camera is out, I will have to shoot the man in the hall. Are you prepared for that?
No, he admitted. But if it means we all get to live, then let's do it anyway.
Lacey waited until she got confirmation from the other teachers that their students were on the move before she made her own move. She climbed up Jamie's back and disconnected her camera. She knew that would alert the men in the office, and the one in the hallway would come to investigate. She was not disappointed. He was stalking down the hall right in her direction. Lacey pulled her gun and eased the hammer back.
Stay behind me, she told Jamie.
She unlocked her door and opened it a crack. When the man was close enough that she could see that he had brown eyes, Lacey took the shot. The would-be assassin dropped to the floor. Knowing the sound of gunfire would get things moving, Lacey grabbed Jamie's hand and they ran through the hallway. Another man, dressed in black, rounded the corner, and Lacey didn't hesitate. One bullet straight to his head. He dropped like a sack of rocks. Lacey reached down and grabbed his rifle as they ran past. Voices were coming their directions. Frantic shouting, Lacey needed to hide Jamie. Over there, a voice said to her. She didn't see anyone and didn't care. There was a janitor's closet within reach. She yanked open the door and shoved Jamie inside.
Stay, she commanded him.
She closed the door just in time to see two more men coming in her direction at a run. She raised her gun and fired twice. The first shot was dead on. The second missed, plunging into the wall behind the man. He growled as he came closer to her. Lacey fired again, this time hitting him in the shoulder. She raised the rifle at the same time he raised his own. She fired first, releasing a spray of bullets on the man. As soon as she was satisfied that he was dead, she went back to the closet where Jamie hid.
Come on, she said, and he ran after her.
They were nearly out.
"Just a little further," she said, and when Jamie didn't answer her, she stopped and turned around. One of the men had Jamie by the neck and had a gun to his head. Her heart sank. "Oh, no."
"Let him go," she said.
The man laughed. "I don't think so. Where are the rest of the students?"
Lacey shrugged her shoulders.
"Beats me." "You must not care very much for this one," he said, pressing the gun harder to Jamie's temple. "Shall I dispose of him for you?"
"Let him go," Lacey said again with conviction.
"Tell me, teacher, can you fire that weapon faster than I can blow this kid's brains out?"
Lacey held her gun steady at arm's length. Could she? "Do you want to take that chance, mister?"
"I don't think so.
Let the boy go."
Jamie didn't look scared. If anything, the child looked pissed. "Take the shot, Miss B," he told her. Lacey quickly weighed her options. If she fired, the man would kill Jamie. If she didn't fire, he would kill him. It was a no-win situation. "Take the shot," that weird voice said again. Could she? Did she dare? Lacey closed her eyes and prayed that her hand be steady and her aim be true. When she opened them, Jamie must have seen the resolution in her eyes, because at the exact moment he needed to, Jamie dropped his large body down and Lacey pulled the trigger. "I can't stop it," Antonio said to Jake. He had just come from inspecting the bomb in the basement. Explosives was his area of expertise, and he would know if one could be disarmed. "It's got a double-back trigger that will blow immediately if I try. It's a solid bomb." Jake didn't question the angel. "Then we need to get these kids out of here," he said. Antonio agreed. "We're going to be in deep shit for this when Ash finds out." Jake nodded. "Yeah, well, fuck it. I'm doing it anyway." Shelley gripped his hand and they all flashed to the outside of the building. They rounded the corner and stopped at the huge exhaust fan that was the only barrier keeping the children inside the school. They made themselves visible just before coming in front of the fan. "We're getting you out," he told them. "Miss B said to wait for her," one of the girls said, and another smacked her on the arm.
"Ow!"
"How do you know he's not one of them?"
the other girl whispered. Antonio smiled. "I'm a friend of Miss B. Lacey is a fine lady, and right now, I am determined that you should all get out immediately. Stand back." That was all the warning he gave them before gripping the grate in his hands and ripping it off and tossing it to the ground. "Go," he shouted. "Get all the way out to the football field as fast as you can." Antonio helped each student and teacher out of the duct and nodded to Jake. It was time to see his charge. He flashed to the front of the school, just in time to see Lacey and Jamie running for their lives. He smiled. They were going to make it, until the last terrorist jumped down from the roof, landing on Lacey's back. They both fell to the ground, and Jamie rushed back to his teacher.
"No, kid, no," Jake whispered.
The terrorist stood and pointed his gun at Jamie. "Not too smart, are you?" he said to the boy. Jamie was frozen with fear. He couldn't move, but he saw his teacher get to her feet to his side. Just as the man raised his gun, Lacey tackled him. Jake watched helplessly as the gunman let off a stream of bullets that ripped into Lacey's body, causing her to jerk and scream out. She didn't let him go, though. Lacey pushed at him, forcing him back into the building as he continued to spray bullets into her flesh. They crashed through the glass doors at the front, and then the building exploded. Epilogue. Lacey knew she was dead. She was floating freely down the infamous tunnel, watching glimpses of her life pass her by. It was like being in a moving, circular theater. She could see and hear her life as she lived it, one scene at a time. She saw her parents when she was only 6, brushing her hair and tying it into a bun on her head before her first piano recital. She heard her mother's comforting voice, telling her that she had all the confidence she needed. She saw her first boyfriend, and had to smile at the way he looked at her. She saw the day she got married, how happy she had been. Lacey saw everything leading up to her identity change, including her husband's dead and bloody body on their living room floor. She saw her students. She remembered each and every one of their faces on her first day. She saw the face of the students the day everything went to hell in a handbasket. Her heart pounded in her chest as she relived the fear they all felt. She knew she was on the fast track to hell, so it didn't surprise her when the movie of her life came to a close and she saw fire at the end of the tunnel. She had taken a life, and she knew the price. She didn't think it would come so soon, but she had known it was coming. Her body, her spirit, whatever she was now, moved faster through the tunnel. Faster and faster she flew, and she held her head high,
She would take her punishment for her sins without regret. She would not beg, and she would not plead for her soul. It had never been hers in the first place. She finally got to the end, and she landed on her feet in front of a wall of fire. The heat poured off it, and her brow glistened with sweat. Did dead people sweat? Apparently so. She looked around her to realize that she was in a cave of some sort. What was she supposed to do now? She took two steps to her left, and the wall of fire moved. It wrapped itself around her, blocking her path. Was she supposed to go into it? Lacey looked harder at the flames. If this was what she was meant to do, then she could do it. She tried to move her feet to accept her eternity, but it was as if someone cemented them to the floor. She couldn't move. She could only stand there. That was when she saw a flicker of movement in the flames. Something was in there. Something that was not part of the fire. As it drew closer, Lacey could see it take the form of a man. He was tall with broad shoulders. There was something else, though. Two identical things extended above his head on either side. They were too big to be horns, but all she could see was his outline. Demon, she thought. What else would she expect in hell? The demon man got closer until he broke through the flames and stood in front of her. She could now see him clearly. Dark hair over blue eyes that didn't look evil to her. And those things, those were huge black wings. Lacey, he said to her. Lacey held her head high and straightened her shoulders. Yes? I have been waiting for you, he said to her in a soft tone. Lacey didn't know what to say, so she remained silent. You have done some things in your life that were both incredible and sinful, he continued. I do not know if this is your final destination or not, but I would offer you a job here if you would like. A job? A job? What did he mean, her final destination? And what kind of job? Did he want her to kill people for him and drag them to hell? Did he want a housekeeper? And just what? You do not have to remain silent, he told her. You would like to know what kind of job I would be talking about, right? Lacey regarded him through wary eyes. She nodded in response. You have shown great courage and love in your human life, the man said, walking back and forth in front of the fire. You have done great things, and I feel as if there are more great things for you to come. I am recruiting warriors to protect and serve down here. Lacey finally found her voice. Protect what exactly? The man turned to her. Hell, Earth, me. Take your pick. And if I refuse? She asked. You will go on to your soul's rightful place, either here or in heaven. I do not know which. You will not remember meeting me, he said. She knew by the look in his eyes that he was telling the truth. She got the impression that this man did not bullshit about much of anything. And if I say yes? She asked. He smiled. Then you become one of my elite guard. You will serve under me to protect the rules and keep us safe. You will keep Earth safe. Why would I agree to work for the devil? She asked with a sideways look. The man rolled his eyes and let out an exasperated sigh. Why does everyone assume I am the devil? Lacey said softly. You're in hell, standing in front of the biggest wall of fire I have ever seen. The man got closer to her, then turned his back on her. These are wings. Wings, he pointed over his shoulder. The devil was once an angel, she reminded him. He had wings. The man spun around to face her. I am an angel. I serve and protect. Yes, I am in hell, but I am not evil, nor do I think you are either. Lacey considered her options. If what this angel was saying was true, she could do so much good by accepting his offer. What if I change my mind? She asked him. And that is why I like you, he said. You consider all options before making a rash decision. If you change your mind, I will let you go. Lacey didn't know if she would be doing good or not, but the call to help others was strong in her. What if what he said was true? Even if it wasn't, she knew she was hellbound anyway. What could it hurt? Is that a promise? It's a deal, he smiled, and held out his hand. I won't hurt innocent people, she told him. On that, she would not budge. I would never ask you to, he told her, still holding out his hand. Lacey looked at his eyes and then his offered hand. She expected to see deceit, but what she saw was sincerity, honesty. She slowly brought her hand up, and he clasped it in his own. He shook her hand firmly and said, My name is Ash. Welcome to hell. Thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed Redemption, The Keepers of Hell, Book 3, written by Danielle James and read to you by Miles Taylor. Copyright 2015 by Danielle James.
Production copyright 2015 by Miles Taylor.